ജയം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജരാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയ ചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിത്യലീല പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശീല ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരിഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാം കി മായപ്പൂർ ധാം കി മധുരപുരി ധാം കി ജഗന്നാഥ് പുരി ധാം കി ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാം കി ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസീദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ഗോർ പ്രേമനന്ദി ഹരിഹരി ബോൾ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ബോഡീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ബോഡീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ബോഡീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശ്രീ ഗുരു ശ്രീ ഗൗരംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ് നമാം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിൻ ഇതി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന കൃതിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണി ഭഗവതി അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനി അമ്പത്വാമനുസന്ധദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണി നമോസ്തു തേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ ഫുല്ലാരവിന്ദായതപത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്നപാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകവാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സസുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവ സുതം ദേവം കംസച്ചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാ ജയദ്രതജലാ ഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനീ കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാവികർണ ഘോരമകരാ ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണ നദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവജസരോജമമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകേസരം ഹരികഥാസംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹപ്യബീയമാനം മുദ ഭൂയാദ് ഭാരതപങ്കജക്കലിമലപ്രധ്വംസിന് ശ്രേയസേ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാദമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മ വരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈ സവൈർവേദൈ സാംഗവദൈ ക്രമ ഉപനിഷദൈർഗായന്തിയം സമഗാഹ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാവശന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദൈവായ തസ്മൈ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ Krishna has told Arjuna that that the Upadrashta, Anumantacha, Bartha, Bhokta, Maheshwara, Paramatmani Chapyukto, there has been Purusha Para. Actually, we were talking about Dhyanam on Sunday. Dhyanam is a very misunderstood word in the world today, because people think that they can just have Dhyanam by joining a meditation group or sit for an hour and perform Dhyanam. That is not how Dhyanam Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna's point is that the Dhyanam has to happen in a natural way. In a natural way it has to come from within. That means, due to our artificial lifestyle, artificial way of life, and which has affected our mind heavily, terribly affected our mind, and similarly, a body which is on which we identify very strongly, and due to the ahankaram inside, identification with the body, and due to the various ahankaram inside, different types of ahankaram that is present inside us, due to that the body has also become very affected by that. And similarly, buddhi is also not in the right place because of the avidya inside, ajnanam. Due to that the buddhi is affected. And senses are going in all different directions. Due to all that, the pranan in the body is also in a very disturbed conditions. So, when this is the situation with our existence, as far as the body, mind, intelligence, senses and pranan are all concerned, when it is like that, our upadhis are not in the right place. Basically, we have to accept that. Upadhis are not in the right place, right? And thinking that when the upadhis are like this, to perform dhyanam is not possible. It just simply don't work. First of all, these things should be in the right place. Body, the mind, the senses, the intelligence, everything should be in a balanced situation. So, it is for this, Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita in a way that to change the life, that's the only way this can be done. Because the body purification of the body is through karma yogam. Because body is responsible for the karma. So karma yogam comes through the body, and jnana yogam influences our intelligence, the right way to think. Even that is affected heavily. We are not conscious that we are in a very precarious state with the way we are at the moment. Yeah. So, and similarly, senses have to be under control, and in the sense that senses don't go uncontrolled way after sense gratification, then what is allowed by dharmam is only to be accepted by the senses. So, dharmam, if it is all in a stable conditions, body, mind, intelligence, senses, pranam, if everything is in a stable state, then vasana kshayam will happen. Vasanas will get exhausted inside. Or in other words, dharmam, way of life in based on dharmam means that it is for the sake of vasana kshayam and not for fulfilling the desires. So if we live like that, if our lifestyle is in that way, then automatically dhyanam or meditation will develop within, in a natural way it will come. That is Krishna's point, right? So, as soon as you wake up in the morning, the thoughts will come in such a way from inside towards self-realization and spiritual life. Instead of getting withdrawn, pulled into the world outside, the natural tendency will be to engage in spiritual activities. That dhyanam, that is dhyanam. That means from within the inspiration coming to engage in sense spiritual life. So, similarly, at the time like early hours in the morning, similarly in the evening hours, sandhya times, automatically that prakriti has maintains a certain discipline. We have to observe the prakriti to see how prakriti controls the nature in this world. Prakriti has a way of doing things. But because we have completely disconnected with the prakriti and we have developed a lifestyle totally based on senses and sense gratification and karma, simply in karma. Therefore, we don't even notice the changes that's happening in the prakriti. If you observe carefully, you will see how the birds behave, how the animals behave. If you look at their lifestyle, which is more in tune with prakriti, they come out in the morning when the sun rises, and then they look for food, and in the evening they have a natural tendency to lie down and to go to sleep. Even they are so disciplined than us, whereas we 24/7. Now what we are supposed to do? And then we want a dhyanam also in the middle of that. Karmam is for us, affecting us so strongly, this attracted by karmam and not realizing that this way of life itself is detrimental to spiritual advancement. Anyway, so, prakriti, if you observe all the trees, plants, everything, when the sun sets, they all go into a meditation mode. They don't move around, they don't show much of a activity. And this is all the nature teaching us that the rhythm of the nature is like that, to be in tune with that. So, so the created meditation is not like that. You're forcing yourself to go into meditation mood in the meditation classes and all that. But the natural meditation is come from within. You're falling into a rhythm with the nature. So they are saying that the subtle mind finding its way towards the Antaryami, looking for the Antaryami, right? So at that dhyanam, in order that the mind is moving towards the Antaryami, that is not created by ourselves in a natural way, it is meant to happen, right? So, living a moral life and proper sadhana, all these things supports the meditation very well. Similarly, the understanding from Bhagavad Gita, Shastra Jnanam, Salsangam, all these things are to create this mind of nature in us to develop that state of meditation. So, obviously, pure habits like eating, sleeping, all these things, right? So, Krishna is saying that here. You see that word? 25th verse. Dhyanen Altmani Pashyandi Kejit Altmanam Altmana Anye Sanghena Yogena Karma Yogena Chapare. So this dhyanam, what comes in us in a natural way, that goes into the buddhi, it has, and some people realize it through that way, through that dhyanam alone. This inward-looking nature, builds up in a person. And you can observe that in people who have that propensity like that, to dhyanena alpani pashyanti, as he says there. So, and then Krishna said, some people through Sankhyam and some people through Yogam. So, three things he has mentioned there. Dhyanam is Dhyanen Alpani Pashyanti Kechid Alpanam Alpana. And if you go little further, then you will get established in Sankhyam. Kejal Sankhya, he says, Anya Sankhyena Yogena, Kechid Alpanam Alpana, Anya Sankhyena Yogena, right? If these two things has not happened, that means through Dhyanam or through Sankhyam, then Karma Yogena Chapare. He says Karma Yogena. Where is this coming from? Right? Suppose you feel this world is very important. And that feeling, that the importance of the world, how the world has affected us, right? If the world has gone inside very strongly in us, right? And that will be in our upadhi, in the mind, in the body, in the senses, in the intelligence everywhere. Whatever they try to do, if the world is having such a strong grip, then their vision will go into the world. It's very difficult to pull them out from the world. The world has gone into them inside so strongly. To the grip of the world in them is so strong that it is difficult for them to turn the attention away from the world inward. So what happens is then, once your attention goes into the world, then you will see all sorts of problems in the world. People who are suffering here heavily, right? And for such people who are feeling that strong link with the world, unable to come out of the world, world is influencing them so strongly, they have only one option left. What is that? They have to go into the process of Karma Yogam. It's for them. Karma Yogam is necessary. And without desires, without any sangam, without any selfish interest, simply engage in the world by true seva and true service. Purify themselves, and that is Karma Yogam. And wipe out that attraction for the world from within. These are big, big topics in the Bhagavad Gita. Karma Yogam, Sankhyam, Jnana Yogam. All these things, in deeper level if you understand, then all these things will make more sense, what Krishna is saying here, right? So, in the world, according to their vasana, these people who are affected by the world strongly, their vasanas, they will see the world. You see, that is the most important thing. Every one of us sees the world differently. The world, yeah. According to our vasana, we will see the world. So the only way to free ourselves from the world, the grip of the world, is to do seva freely in the world. Nishkamam, without any desires, without any sangam, attachment to anything. If you operate like that in this world, then the vasanas will get exhausted, and then they will become attracted towards Sankhyam or through Jnanam. That is what he is saying there. Yeah. Jnana Yogena Sankhyena Jnana Yoga Anya Sankhyena Yogena Karma Yogena Chapari. So that's the important thing to understand Krishna's point. Dhyanena Alpani Pashyandi Kechid Alpanam Alpana. anye sanghena yogena karma yogena chapare. So basically Krishna is saying that if you have a lifestyle like that, the dhyanam will come, natural way it will come. Provided you have a lifestyle in that way. Dhyanena alpani pashyandi. Kechid atmanam atmana. And if that doesn't happen, some others, anye sanghena yogena, those who have become free from these vasanas, but those who cannot do that, neither the dhyanam nor the sanghyam, but who are under the influence of the world. World is, they are caught up in the world, basically. World has taken over there in their upadhi, for example, in the body, in the mind, in the senses, in intelligence, everywhere. The world will control them all the time. And because of that, first of all, they have to come out of the world first. Karma yogena chapare. And for that, karma yogam, Krishna is saying here. So, and leaving these three things, what he has, dhyanam, sanghyam, and karma yogam, what does Krishna say in the next verse? Yaval samjayate kinchit, sattvam savara jangamam, kshetram kshetrajna samyoga, tadvidhi bharadarshabha. Some people who are not familiar with any of these things, they have some people, only few like that, they have heard about all these things, and from they got an opportunity to hear this from the realized souls, from realized souls who are very advanced in the self-realization. And hearing from them, they have done some upasana. In other words, they are trying to realize the truth by hearing from great personalities, right? They also escape, Krishna says. Krishna is talking about people who are, how they become free from prakriti. So, these people also, sometimes, this is not always, some people, due to hearing from some realized souls, great personalities, they become free because they do the upasana after seeing those realized people. And they can become Jivan Muktas, liberated souls or jnanis. And that is what he is saying. Anya, that is the fourth, next, sorry, one verse, 25th verse. Anya tevam ajanandam, shrutva nebhyam upasate, tebi javit randeva, mrityam shruti parayana. Shruti parayana means those who have heard this. Those who have heard these things, shruti, they are called shruti parayana. Simply by hearing, they got the benefit. So there are various ways things can happen in self-realization, and it can happen according to that person's position in spiritual field, in adhyalpam. Adhyalpam is like that. Adhyalpam is not one rule for everybody, and that's not Rishi's process. Rishi's method is depending on where you are standing in your spiritual life, accordingly the process will work for you. So, anyetevam ajananda, shrutva nebhim upasade, tebi jadi tarandeva, mrityam shruti parayana. So, the shruti parayana are those people, they manage to free themselves from all the vikalpam that comes inside from the world. And also at the same time, alpanam ajananda, they have no knowledge of the soul, but because they had the association with Shrutebhi Jadi Taraneva, they had the Acharyebhi Shrutva Idam Eva Chintayata Idi Ukta Upasade Shraddhadana Sanda Chintayandi. They engage in upasana by seeing or by coming into contact with some great souls, and due to that, they also get liberated in due course of time. So, And so you can see here, Krishna discussed little topics in this chapter, different topics, episodes, like little small episodes he has spoken here, right? Now, going to complete this chapter talking about Samadarshanam, equal, seeing Krishna's presence in everyone equally, right? So, so this Samadarshanam, what he is going to talk about now, from now on, right? Saying that, and that is the yoga process, the peak aspect of yoga, and saying like that, this chapter, Kshetra Kshetrajna Vibhaga Yogam, Krishna will conclude this chapter. And so, various things Krishna spoke in this chapter. First of all, Krishna spoke about Kshetram Kshetrajna. And then he spoke about Kshetram. Then he spoke about Upasana, Adhyalpa Jnana Nityatvam, all those verses. Krishna spoke about that. So you can see he has touched many small topics like that. And this whole topic comes together and finally ends in what is called Samadarshanam. Samadarshanam is the end result of all that. Yeah. So that yogam, which is the Samastha Vedartha Sara Sangraha Bhudam, that yogam. Yeah. So we saw this now. Dhyanena Alpani Pashyandi Kejid Alpana Malpana Anya Sanghena Yogena Karma Yogena Chapare. Krishna spoke about the Alma Tattvam in various ways. He covered that, is he not? If you remember all what we discussed in this chapter, Alma Tattvam Krishna has spoken. He spoke about Kshetrajna, what Kshetrajna is. And he spoke about the Upasana required for realizing the Kshetrajna. And so for this self-realization, mainly here he spoke about Dhyana Yogam, Jnana Yogam and Karma Yogam. In these three ways he spoke here. Nothing is actually, we get to misunderstand things, that we like to put everything in compartments. It is not like that in spiritual life. You will have the contribution from other yoga processes to the process what you are familiar with. Even one who is following the Bhakti Yogam process, he will require the help from Jnana Yogam and Dhyana Yogam, everything. That is why in Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna has spoken, he has spoken in a way that ultimately yogam is important. Yogam is important. Yogam karmasu kaushalam, as he mentioned. And in few other ways also, Krishna has spoken about yoga is the goal. But jnanam, karmam, bhakti, dhyanam, all these are supporting aspects of that. Yeah. So, how through dhyanam one comes to that, how through jnanam one comes to yogam, and through karmam how he comes to yogam, and without these three, is there any other ways of doing that? And that is what he is saying. Yaval samjayade anyetevam ajanandam shrutvanebhyam upasate tevi jadi darandeva mrityam shruti parayana. So, that is shruti parayana, simply through hearing. That's called shravana yoga. So, another aspect of it. Shravana yoga, that is what it is called. Mrityam shruti parayana, right? So, this is some people, Krishna says, some people, that due to their power of discrimination, they are able to discriminate things, and they are not using their Sankhya Buddhi. They are not using their Sankhya Buddhi, and they also don't have Dhyanam in them. And they have known, they are not used to this karma yoga either. None of them, right? Even they, he's saying there, due to their, they get an opportunity to come into contact with some liberated persons, Jivan Muktas, right? Or great Yanis, and taking their shelter, they engage in upasana as per their instructions, and in that way they realize the truth. So these all options are there. It can happen in any of these different ways. This is basically a process. This Shravana Yogam is a process where you have to have strong faith, belief in what the realized soul has instructed you. You have to be 100% able to accept what he says. Total faith in his instructions and able to abide by that. That's required for this. That's the qualification for this. Shravana Yoga. All jnanam, sanghyam, dhyanam, karmam, all is left out. Simply because you have taken shelter of a Mahatma, great personality, and you are willing to abide by his instructions, and you have complete faith in his instructions. And they make progress and they also realize the truth. So, here, dhyanam, as well as the... you may not have dhyanam within you. Dhyanam has not happened. Similarly, that proper vivekam has not come. Even then, simply by shravanam alone, he will realize the truth. He will realize the truth through shravanam. So, this shravanam process, there is a lot of things in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam which we don't really think in that way because we don't have that way of understanding things. We are people who have gone through a way of life which is not very spiritual in the sense, so our way of thinking is also totally not in line with the rishis. So this Shravana Yogam, what Krishna is talking about in this verse, Tevi Chadi Tarandeva Mrityum Shrutiparayana, they are experts in listening. That's their qualification. Very experts in listening. Shravana. They are very qualified, right? So this, in Shravana Yogam, this what he is talking about, the listener is important. Shrotava means one who is listening. He is important, right? The speaker is also important, but more important than the speaker is the listener. And listener's maturity is very important. How mature listener he is, right? Listener we have seen in Bhagavatam also, Uttama Shrodava, Madhyama Shrodava, Athama Shrodava. Three levels they have spoken, is it not? People who are good at good listeners in the middle level and those who are very poor listeners. They are all there in the listener. Listener is not, all listeners are not the same. Yeah. So, similarly in the speakers also, Uttamam, Madhyamam, Adhamam. The best, the middle and the Adhamam, the lower ones. So, and similarly in Vaktava, in speakers, those who have got Aparoksha Anibhuti, who have realizations. And there are people who don't have any realizations among the speakers, right? So, in Shravanam, in this Shravanam process, if he is one who is listening, right? If these are the different scenarios in the self-realization, what comes in different scenarios, right? Say the person who is speaking is realized, Jivan Mukta, he is, right? And he is a jnani, and he has got the aparoksha anubhuti, or in other words, he is realized inside, right? And if the listener, he does not have any desire for self, but he is listening, right? and he does not have any material desires, and he also has a desire to realize the self. So what he is saying is that if the listener don't have any other desires, but he wants to realize the truth, and the speaker is a realized soul, and in that case, he will get self-realized one day, provided he is free from material desires. He has to become desireless, completely free from all desires. Vairagyam has come to him. So if the listener has complete vairagyam in him, and he has come into contact with the self-realized soul, and the listener has no desires, and he has come into contact with the self-realized soul somehow, it happened in his life, it is possible that he will realize the truth one day. And simply by his listening to him, that means that person who is coming, he has to have some maturity in the sense that he should not have material desires at all, completely free from material desires, and he wants to realize the self, so that desire is there, but he doesn't have the qualification of jnanam, karmam, sankhyam or dhyanam, none of them. But because he came into contact with the liberated soul, and he himself has no desires, the result will be a success for him. He will end up in self-realization at the end, right? On the other hand, that's one scenario is like that. Another situation is that the one who is listening, the listener, if he has got a little desires inside, material desires, right? And he has got some material understanding of life and materialistic influences inside, right? So if the guru or spiritual master is very realized and is a first class person in spiritual side, he will be able to release that listener from his ignorance of attraction for material happiness, and that sankalpam, he will be able to get rid of that from him and can give him the knowledge of the self to him. That is depends on the guru. If the guru has that strength or the guru has that realization that he is able to remove the material desires, whatever that is in him. Material desires means avidya. Basically it means avidya. Able to remove that avidya from inside. Because of avidya only we make plans, we think about our future so much. All this is coming from avidya. So able to free that person from avidya and to deliver him from that. Yeah. You can see this in the Bhagavatam through various personalities, how they receive the instructions from the guru. That is how you understand this process. There is no other way. Bhagavatam is for that purpose, to show to us how different scenarios happen in the Bhagavatam. Different persons in their different state of spirituality where they are at, how they were given the spiritual, how they reach the self-realization status. Yeah. Take for example, first class disciple, first class guru. And that example is Shukabrahmarshi and Parikshit, both of them, right? Parikshit made a big blunder of putting that dead snake on the throat of that Shamigrashi. And after coming to the palace, he thought, I've done something which is totally against my principles, or in other words, this is not my way of life. That to offend a great rishi like that, why did I do that? And when this thought came inside, Parikshit felt that I will accept the punishment, whatever that may be, he said. It doesn't matter. That means with that incident, Parikshit's life turned completely. He was able to accept that what he has done was a wrong thing, and he was willing to accept the punishment. And through these thoughts he was moving around in the palace when these two brahmacharis came from Shamigrishi. And Shamigrishi sent a message to him that Sringi, the boy, has cursed him, that in 7 days' time he'll have to leave the body. So that happened, and obviously Parikshit was willing to accept it straight away. He said, hell with the palace, hell with all this kingdom, everything. He was willing to abandon everything, walk away from the palace to Ganga River. He sat there. So now he has got no time for sadhana or upasana. 7 days time left. How much sadhana can you do in 7 days? Right? So he has got 7 days time. So therefore, dhyanam, yogam, all these things, even though Shukha Brahmarshi has spoken in the Bhagavadam, you can see that they are not meant for him, not for Parikshit. In 7 days' time, of course, in the Bhagavadam, Shukha Brahmarshi talks about dhyanam, about the yogam and all that. It is not meant for him, because they are meant for the people who come later on, who is going to read Bhagavadam. It is for them. Those things were spoken in the Bhagavadam, not for Parikshit, right? Because Parikshit don't have the time for doing all that. So there what happened? He got the opportunity to, he was ready, matured, a mature disciple. No desires inside, nothing, absolutely nothing. Everything gone. Willing to accept the punishment for whatever he has done. And it is in that state that we can imagine that what state of mind Parikshit had, and then a great personality, realized a soul comes, and due to that relationship between Shukha Brahmarshi and Parikshit, the job got done. At the end he realized the self, right? That is that relationship between Shukha Brahmarshi and Parikshit. Uddhava, you take for example, Uddhava situation. Uddhava says to Krishna, directly he told him that, I don't have the capacity to do all this yoga what you are talking about. In Ekadasham you can see that, right? I'm 115 years old, imagine. That's the time this discussion happens first time between Krishna and Uddhava. Uddhava is 115 years old, and Krishna told him that, when Krishna said to him that these yoga processes and all that, Uddhava says, don't imprison me in all your spiritual instructions, because you will see if you look into the 11th canto, how Uddhava said very succinctly, he put that. Chapter 29. In the end of Ekadasham, he is saying this. 11:29, second verse. Prayasha Pundarikaksha Yunjando Yogino Mana Vishidandi Asamadhanam Mano Nigraha Krashidaha. That was Uddhava's words to Krishna at the end. He is saying this. Prayasha Pundarikaksha Yunjando Yogino Mana Vishidandi Asamadhanam Mano Nigraha Krashidaha. And he says, Pundarikaksha, addressing Krishna like that, and saying to him, I have seen so many yogis in my life, and all of them are struggling very hard to control their mind. Mind is the most difficult one. And they all got caught up in the web of mind and became helpless. They couldn't do it, right? So, therefore, all this yoga sadhana you spoke about, don't tell me that. You have to remember, Uddhava had spent the whole life with Krishna. And it is at the very end this discussion happened. So, I need to realize the truth. Uddhava said to Krishna, right? So you have to say in such a way, how will I realize the truth? This is what Uddhava said to Krishna. You have to take that responsibility so that I can realize the truth, right? And I need to realize it now. And because I am so old now, I can go leave this world anytime. And therefore, instruct me in such a way that I'll realize the truth, he said. So, this is another scenario. The speaker is Krishna. So obviously that means it's perfect. Source is perfect. The listener is saying his situation is like this. So, Krishna said to him at that time, Handate kathayishyami mama dharman sumangalan yan shraddhaya varan martyo mrityam jayati durjayam. That is how Krishna answers that. Krishna, that word itself is handa. Handa means, what can I say, he says. And Krishna understands the situation. So he says to him, right, and saying like that, Krishna gave the Brahmavidya to Uddhava. Right? So, these two personalities, if you look at it, coming from both of them, have not done any upasana till now, on their own. Parikshit didn't do any sadhana, Uddhava didn't do any sadhana. But, there is one good thing with both of them, they were ready for, both, Parikshit was totally higher stage of renunciation, able to throw away everything in life and to realize the truth. That mood has come to him. He said that I have done a big mistake. I am willing to accept whatever punishment is given to me. With these words, Parikshit comes to listen Bhagavatam. That means he has no link, connection with the world anymore. Uddhava also in the same way. When you look at Uddhava, you can see Uddhava had the strength in him to say to Krishna that this is my situation, I have no hope because I am old now and all this yoga process what you kept telling me about Jnana Yogam, Karma Yogam and all that, what am I going to do now in my life? But I want to realize the truth. The desire was strong inside. I want to realize the truth. So you have to give me the instruction in such a way that I can realize the truth in this way. So, Parikshit didn't have much time left. Uddhava also didn't have time left. Uddhava was also very old, right? So Parikshit realized, simply through Shravanam he realized the truth. Simply through Shravanam he realized the truth. Uddhava also realized it through Shravanam only. So that is why when Krishna is saying here, Anyetam am ajanandam shrutvanebhyam upasate Tevi Jadi Tarandeva Mrityam Shruti Parayana. Shruti Parayana means this category. Who have not done any yoga processes, neither Karma Yogam, Jnana Yogam, Bhakti Yogam, none of them, but Shruti Parayana, good at hearing. That hearing, and happened to hear from Shobramarshi and Krishna, so both of them had that straight result. Immediately the result was success. And was success, right? Now you look into Bhagavadam, there is another Shraddhava. There are all types of Shraddhava in the Bhagavadam. Chitraketu if you take. So, a great personality, a great king, right? And devotee also. And he wants to realize the truth. But, and he has got a great guru also, Angiras was his guru, right? Angiras comes to see him. And he came to talk to him about Brahmavidya. He wanted to instruct Chitraketu about Brahmavidya. But when he came there and he spoke to Chitraketu, he understood that there is no point in talking to him. Because when Angiras came, Chitraketu started saying about his prarabdham, that he didn't have a son. And there is no point in talking to him about self-realization. When somebody is in that state, Angiras immediately understood the situation and he told him that Angiras understood that what he wants is not self-realization, what he wants is a son now. Right? So if you have any desire in the mind, any desire in the mind, Brahmopadesham won't work. Even if a Mahatma comes and gives you instructions, it will not affect you, help you, because of the desires inside. Right? So first of all, the desire has to leave you. And only then, if somebody does Brahmopadesham, only then Samadhi state will come. And knowing that, what he did was, Angiras told him that you perform a sacrifice and from that get the prasadam and give it to your wife and you will have a son and that son will give you happiness and distress later. Right? So, you will get both from him, from the child, happiness as well as distress. Right? And then saying that Angiras left without saying anything further. He didn't talk about self-realization. He didn't talk about spiritual life, nothing. Because when he came there, he saw he was not ready for spiritual life. There's no point in talking to a person who is not ready for it. Because it's only a waste of time. And he understood the mind. He is a devotee. Chitraketu is a devotee. But desires have not gone completely from inside. This is why Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, in the beginning itself, that vyavasayalpiya buddhi is not there, then there is no point in instructing about spiritual path. They can hear, but no results will come from that. Yeah. So, then you know what happened, that child was born to Chitraketu, and the other, he had many queens, all those queens felt envy towards this wife, Kritajudi, and they killed that child, which we have seen in the sixth canto, all that. When the child died, the son which was born after Angiras' blessings, that child died. And so, even though the desire was fulfilled, when the child died, it became tremendous distress for Chitraketu. Right? So Chitraketu realized that Sukham came first, Dukham also came after that. Right? So, and when he was in terrible, intense distress, very intense distress, at that time, Angiras comes with Narada Maharshi together, and then they started asking Chitraketu, why are you crying? So, Chitraketu says to Angiras that my son died, he says to him. So, Angiras started talking to him to create vairagyam in him. Because incidents in life can help sometimes to turn our attention for self-realization. Otherwise, nobody wants self-realization. Who wants self-realization in this world? We are happy as long as there is plenty of money, family life and comforts and other sense gratification. That means all desires are inside. Anyway, Angiras managed to talk to him at that time. He told the king that there is no rule that everyone in this world will have children. There is no rule like that, he said. You may have children, you may not have children. Similarly, there has to have children. There is no rule like that. Angiras is saying this to Chitraketu, right? And he gave the example also. If you planned a lot of seeds, not all the seeds will sprout. Some of them will sprout, some of them won't, right? And that depends on the prakriti situations in the nature, right? And therefore, it's not necessary that all the seeds will sprout and plants will come from that. Sometimes some seeds may not sprout at all. That is how always it is like that, isn't it? So, this is Narada Maharshi. I am Angiras. I have come here before because this king, out of his depression, of the unhappiness in life, he could not even recognize Angiras. He was in that state. So Angiras introduced again himself to him and told him, I am Angiras. This is Narada Maharshi. And we came to you before to talk to you about the truth. But you are not in a mood to listen, he said. If you look into the sixth canto, what he said was, he's saying 6:15:20. Tadaivade param jnanam dadami griham agada jnatva anyabhinivesham te putrameva dadamyaham. This anyabhinivesham has happened. Anyabhinivesham means jnatva anyabhinivesham te. Anyabhinivesham means that if you have abhinivesham, abhinivesham means desires for anything else, then it is not possible to progress in the path of self-realization. It's not possible. So self-realization, you should be totally free from all desires inside. Only one has this realization that I need to go back to Krishna, or I need to realize the truth. I want to become free from the material existence, the cycle of birth and death. Only one who has come to that state without any other desires, in other words, any desire, if it is inside, it will not allow you to have the benefit of the Brahmavadesham. Brahmavadesham won't give you any benefit from that, right? So suppose the person is completely free from all desires, then the moment Brahmavadesham is given by a great sage like them, immediately the result should come. It will happen, right? So that means even the desires for self-realization, even, or mukti, should not be there. That means desires is the main problem, right? Just like they say that you take out one thorn from inside from another thorn, with another thorn, mentioned in the same, in the Bhagavatam, right? In the same way, it will benefit him if the person has no desire, then coming into contact with a Mahatma like Angiras or Narada Maharshi, it will work, right? But this king had this big problem with the obsession with the sun. Obsession with the sun, right? Now that obsession has gone from him after the child was born and died. That obsession left him because Chitraketu became very thoughtful after that. And the jiva came back, that sun came back and spoke to him. Narada Maharshi did all that. So that obsession with the having a son, obsession with that, has gone from him. Now Angiras is telling him that when you are cooking grains, it's not necessary you have to verify all the grains. If you take one grain out of it and check whether it is properly cooked or not, and then you can take it, realize, know whether the whole pot is cooked or not. In the same way, he says, Angiras says to Chitraketu, in the same way, one experience in life is enough if you have analyzed it properly. With one experience alone, you should learn what life is all about. Just like when you cook in the pot rice, one grain of rice, if you take it and check it, whether it is cooked or not, from that, they didn't have the cooking system like we have today. In them days, we hear everything is automated, isn't it? Now, so many machines in the kitchen operating same time like a factory. So, in them days, everything was cooked on firewood, and women were cooking. They'll take out one grain of rice and check whether it is cooked or not, and then they will decide whether it is cooked or not. They didn't have pressure cooker at that time. So, similarly, That's how they attest. That's why there's examples here. Similarly, in life also, if you had one good experience in life of the nature of this world, one should be able to, if he is intelligent enough, he should learn that this is what life is all about. So that's what he said to him, that if you look at that verse, few verses where he spoke this. Chitrakedu said that. Yeah, he said, "Tadeva tadeva de param jnanam dadami griham agada jnatva anyabhinivesham de putrameva dadamyaham." He says the problem was you had this anyabhinivesham with about your son, and therefore I didn't speak to you last time.
Adhuna putranam tavo bhavadeva anubhuyade evam dara griha rayo vivida aishwarya sampadaha.
Right? Then you, with this attachment to wealth, kingdom, wife, children, and all these things,
shabdadescha vishayascha rajya vibhudaya mahi rajyam balam kosham vritya amatya suhral janaha sarvevi shurasenime shoka moha bhaya artidaha gandharva nagara prakhya swapnamaya manorathaha drishyamana vidharthena nadrishyande manobhavaha karma bhirdhyayido nana karmani manaso abhavan.
So you can see how Angiresa spoke to him, that my dear king, he said that it is like a gandharva nagara prakhya sapnamaya manoradhaha, right? That means that it is like a gandharva's palace, gandharva nagara. Gandharva's palace, you have in your dream, you have felt some. So this is also a dream. The vacant state is also a dream. What it is that you are completely enamored by this kingdom, the wealth, and then the palace, the ministers, and then the wives, children, and all that. Whatever you have got, you are thinking that you are going to be happy, but realize that they, all of them, are equally capable of giving you a lot of distress. Palace, kingdom, ministers, wives, and all the other comforts. Just like this one incident is enough for you to learn that the son has come and he left. Similarly, the other things also you can lose them. And similar distress will come from that as well. So, they are also equally capable of giving you distress, right? So, when they do a magic, magicians, they create this Gandharva Nagaram in front of you, and when they can create through magic all kinds of things in front of you, and the magician, when he decides to pull back, everything disappears from you, and then you realize that it was all false. Therefore, instead of putting your faith in this Dvaitam, keep your chittam, consciousness, in the right place and engage in dhyanam. And Narada Maharshi has come to give you instructions on that. And he is the mantra diksha, mantra upadesham. He is going to give it to you, right? And that way, he gave him the instruction about the knowledge of the self to Chitrakedu, right? But Chitrakedu was not completely free from desires. Just by saying the desires won't go, Chitrakedu had vasanas. Because he had these vasanas, therefore, but because then Sri Narada Maharshi gave him the andropadesham and he performed the upasana, therefore Chitrakedu didn't get liberated. Instead, he became a Vidyadhara. That's what will happen. Suppose if you are not, whereas Parikshit got liberated, Uddhava got liberated, Chitrakedu didn't get liberated. The reason being that his vasanas have not gone away from inside, right? Because he had the desire inside, but at the same time, upasana was there because he took the instructions from Sri Narada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi gave him the mantrobadesham, but and told him, you perform the upasana and you will be benefited. That's how they left.
They didn't give him the instructions for self-realization. They gave him the Upasana process for them and told him that you will reach a higher state in spiritually. In that way, they told him, and he became a Vidyadhara. So what happened is now, in Chitraketu's life, he had, all of us have the same thing. We have a certain amount of punyam, a certain amount of pāpam. Sinful activities, there vāsana says inside, and pious activities, there whatever we have done, that's also inside, right? So, because when he became a Vidyadhara, he left his human form and became a Vidyadhara. Therefore, all his pious activities results have completed because he got this Vidyadhara's body because of that. When he got the Vidyadhara's body, the pious results of his pious activities is all now exhausted, and he got this body of say Vidyadhara. And then the sinful activities he still has, what is balance left in him, and due to that he has to come as Vritrasura. So you can see from there that in order to exhaust the sinful reactions, he took that body as Vritrasura, right? So, and in that body, in Vritrasura's body, is where he gets liberated. But he had to go through that Vritrasura's body, right? So, so in a demoniac body, Vritrasura is an Asura's body, he gets liberated. He becomes realized and he gets liberated, right? So, if Shrodhava or a listener who has no desire for self-realization, right? Whereas the Acharya or the Vaktava or the speaker, if he is a jnani, very quickly it can happen. But our problem here with Chitraketu, you saw, unlike Uddhava and Parikshit, his spiritual situation was such, desires were there in him, and he was finding it difficult to wipe them off, right? So if a Shrodhava or listener, if he has no desires, completely freedom from desires, and if the person who is instructing him is a realized soul or a jnani, then he will get realized. The results will be there. Provided the person is free from desires, totally free from desires, right? So that is one scenario, one situation, right? Now, another situation that a listener, he has got desires, right? But at the same time, he knows that ultimate goal of life is self-realization. He may also escape, provided a self-realized soul shows some mercy to him, and he will, the instructions will work at that time. Suppose even if that person has desires, but he knows very well that the goal is ultimately self-realization, and in that case, if the realized soul is able to instruct him, it will have its effect on him, right? Now, another situation. Then, a listener who has no desires, right? And the one who is instructing him is realized, or at the same time, avaroksha anubhuti. Suppose he doesn't have that realization to that level. There is no problem even then, because the person who is listening, due to his sincerity and due to becoming free from desires, through this speaker, even though speaker is not 100% perfect, through the speaker, Dakshinamurti, Lord Shiva, will work through him and give the instructions, and that person will get liberated. All these different situations can happen in spiritual life. So, in different ways, knowledge can, self-realization can happen. If the listener and the speaker is the best, uttama vaktava, uttama shrotava, if both are best, then very quickly the result will happen. Self-realization will happen, right? And if the speaker is good, but the listener has desires, it will happen to him after all his desires are fulfilled. That will delay his progress. If the listener has desires, realization won't come. Because all those desires has to get fulfilled first. Only after that it will happen. So, sometimes people say, due to my spiritual master's mercy, this happened, that happened and all that. People say like that, right? So, that is the reason behind that. And finally, one who has no desires, he is very pure, and it doesn't matter. Even if the guru is not realized, it will happen to him. And that is when, due to the purity of the listener, because of that purity, right, and due to his intense desire for self-realization, that alone makes him qualified to realize the truth. And there are many people like that. And that is, you can see that in the next verse. That. So, when Krishna says these things, there are different sides to it. Yeah. So, again, to stress this point, in this particular situation, Shravana Yogam, what Krishna calls it as, Shravana Yogam, Shrotav is important, more than the Vaktav. If that person is very ready for realization, means he has become free from all desires, and he has reached that state like a ripened fruit, he is ready for that. And Krishna is saying that if he hears from anybody about the knowledge of the soul, he will be able to get over the cycle of birth and death. So dhyanam Krishna spoke. How dhyanam happens? Jnanam Krishna has spoken. How jnanam it happens? Karma yogam Krishna has spoken. If these three things did not happen, through Shravanam it is possible, which calls it as Mrityam Shudibarayana, Shravana Yogam is saying. Simply through Shravanam, self-realization can happen. What is the pramanam for that? What is the proof for that? Is for Jnanam requires actually only Shravanam. Nothing else is necessary. Not even Upasana, not even Sadhana. Jnanam can happen like that, simply through Shravanam, right? Because Jnanam, knowledge is already inside us. Krishna is inside us, Antaryami is there. That means the knowledge is there, right? And it is not something that has to come from outside. So, and problem what we have got is, we have lost it. And we made identification with the body. And therefore, so Salsangam and all that, when how Salsangam works is like that, then if the listener is matured completely, no desires inside, simply through hearing he will escape. No other upasana sadhana is required. So, because he is already inside, the knowledge is there, it is not to come from outside. But unfortunately, problem for us is, we are thinking that we have to work, our faith is in karma, you see. And we think that by doing only I will get something. That's what we are used to. You have to work for it, they say. Isn't it? You don't say that for self-realization. You have to work for it. It has to happen if you are ready, free from desires is the first thing inside, right? And we are looking for Krishna everywhere else in the world, although he is inside us. This is our unfortunate situation. We are thinking going to all the holy places, all the temples, all the ashrams, all the holy rivers, all the holy mountains. Everywhere we are searching for where is Krishna. And Krishna is inside us. This is our difficult situation now. And in other words, we are looking for ourselves. Where are we? Who are we? That self-realization, right? So, and we are inquiring about ourselves, but if somebody is able to show us who we are, then this inquiry, this wandering around will stop. In Yoga Vasishtam, Vasishtha Maharshi says this to Ramachandra, right? Guru instructs everybody same way, but depends on the disciple. Disciple's maturity. It depends on the disciple's maturity, right? Upadesha kramo rama vyavastha matra palanam. That's the verse in the Yoga Vasishtam. Upadesha kramo rama. Rama, all the instructions is a process, upadesham, kramam. But vyavastha, that's only for vyavastha matra palanam. It's only just a procedure, that's all. Upadesha kramo rama. So, for self-realization, it is the state of the disciple. What state he is at, prajna, of the disciple is important. If the disciple is mature completely, then just like camphor, when it falls into fire, it will burn straight away. In the same way, the disciple will become realized straight away, right? Moment he hears it, self-realization will happen. So he says, this is the importance of that Shravana Yoga, what he is saying here. Anyetevam ajananda shrutva nebhyam upasate tebi chadi tarandyeva mrityam shruti parayana. Mrityam shruti parayana. Yeah. to understand this more, that in our own life, if you look, you can see that things what we are not, right? But because of meditation on thinking about that, you become like that. Yeah. Just like they give example, people, you know, who identify with the big heroes, like famous cricket people who are mad of cricket. They will identify themselves with some great cricket player, big cricket player. And they will start thinking that they will always observe him, watch him. And in this way, they develop a frame of mind inside, thinking about their hero, cricket players. Similarly, film stars. Similarly, musicians. Or, you know, all these different fields, you can see people identify with someone whom they consider their role model, everything. So you identify with your role model, and then gradually you become like that. You develop that nature in you, right? So that's what he is saying here. And this is through our imagination power. The power of imagination, how you develop those qualities in him, right? If it is like that, It is possible what Krishna is saying here also. If you realize your actual identity, who you are, through bhavana or through shravanam process, right, it can happen. But that requires that strong power of imagination to know that we are not this body. And that means you got to know the Antaryami so well and able to connect with him. Right? And this is why in the Bhagavadam, in the beginning itself, said, Shushrushu bhi talchanal, he's saying. Remember? Yeah. So why did they say that? That if the person who is listening, if he has got that strong power of imagination inside, able to build that link with the Antaryami strongly, realization will come like that. Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krde Kimvapare Ishware Sadyohrad Avarudyadetra Kritibi Shushroshubi Talchanal, he is saying. They won't make a statement like that in a casual way. They meant that. Only thing is you have to understand that what he said there. Srimad Bhagavatam Mahamunikrade Vedavyasa Maharshi has compiled Bhagavatam Kimvapare Ishwara Sadyohrad Avarudyadetra Kritibi, because Krishna is Antaryami inside. But we require that state of maturity inside. And for them, it can happen immediately. Bhagavatam is also saying the same thing. Shushrushubi Talchanal, he says. Immediately it can happen through hearing. Provided that listener is qualified for that. Yeah. So, after saying this, if you look at the next verse, Yavat Samjayade Kinjit Satvam Stavara Jangamam Kshetra Kshetratnya Samyogal Tadvidhi Bharadarshabham. In this world, all living entities, Stavaram Jangamam, Sattvam Stavara Jangamam, moving, non-moving, all kinds of living entities, right? Krishna is saying they all come from these two things, Kshetram, Kshetrajna. Kshetra, Kshetrajna, Samyogal. Due to their combination, Kshetram and Kshetrajna, it has happened, right? In other words, matter and consciousness, when they come together. It is from these two, everything has come in this creation, right? If you ask the question, will they come together, matter and consciousness, if you ask that question, if you think deeply, you can understand that, no, they can't come join together. Matter and consciousness cannot join together, right? Matter will never join consciousness. And in the Brahma Sutra Bhashyam, this is spoken, that these two things cannot come, join together, matter and consciousness, right? And it is like this, the awareness bodham and aham and idam, that's another way of saying, these two things are like darkness and light. And therefore darkness and light will never join together. Vishayam and Vishayi will not come together. But still, in real life, you see them together. That's the way it is, right? Shakti and Shiva. Shiva and Shakti, right? Without Shiva, Shakti cannot stay. Without Shiva, Shakti cannot stay. And similarly, without Shakti, Shiva also cannot exist. So this relationship between matter and consciousness is like that. So without Shiva, Shakti cannot exist. And without Shakti, Shivam also cannot exist. Right? One person asked this question and the Maharshi replied like this. He said, without He, there is no She. In She, He is there. Is it not? In She, He is there, right? But In she, he is there, but in he, she is not there. That is that relationship between matter and consciousness. He can stand on his own, and when he is on his own, then there is no creation. Srishti is not there. And that's when we call it as Brahman. Brahman. And when creation happens, Shakti comes, but Shiva is present in the Shakti. So, when they say Shakti, Shiva and all that, you should not take it in the way we consider male and female. It's not in that way it's spoken, right? Purusha and Prakriti, that's how it is spoken. Purusha and Prakriti, right? Purusha is nischalam, no movement in Purusha. Prakriti means the one that moves things, things happen, right? So when Prakriti dissolves in Purusha, it becomes Brahman. It becomes Brahman. Only Prakriti always is in movement, creation. It's always in the movement, right? And water, when it is standing without any movement, or if it moves, it is still water. Similarly, so when water starts moving, it becomes the Shakti. Similarly, when Purusha starts moving, it becomes Prakriti. Movement means creation. When it is on its own, without any creation, steady. At that time, it is Shiva. When it is operating in the form of creation, it is Shakti. So, Kshetrajna and Kshetram, the relationship is like that. Actually, Kshetrajna exists. Kshetram doesn't exist. But when Kshetrajna moves, Kshetram comes. It is from that Kshetram comes, right? So, Kshetram is not real. Only when movement happens in Kshetrajna, Kshetram comes. So, this is a pratibhasam. It is a manifestation, what you feel like that it exists, this creation in Kshetrajna. Kshetrajna is real. Kshetram is a movement that happens in Kshetrajna. And therefore, Kshetram comes. Therefore, for our knowledge, Krishna is saying this, that Shiva and Shakti, they come together, and then creation happens. And Shakti, what we call it, call that as Shakti, is not separate from Shiva, and at the same time, it's a not at all different. Shakti is not different from Shiva, but it is very difficult to explain what it is, what Shakti is, right? But you got to recognize this Shakti in this world, otherwise it's difficult to live in this world, right? So that Shakti is what we call it as Ishvara in our normal word, in normal language. What we call as Ishvara is that Shakti, right? And you will see this in the Lalita Sahasranam, it is spoken like that. What this Shakti means. These are famous verses in the Lalita Sahasranama. We're saying there that Srishtrigartri Rudra Rupa, Srishtrigartri Brahma Rupa, Goptri Govinda Rupini, Samharini Samharini Rudra Rupa. Srishtikartri Brahma Rupa comes as Brahma. That Shakti comes in the form of Brahma for creation. Goptri Govinda Rupini for maintenance comes as Vishnu. Goptri Govinda Rupini. So Lalita Sahasranam says that Shakti Ishvara takes these three forms and Samharini Rudra Rupa. So Srishtikartri Rudra Rupa, Brahma Rupa, Goptri Govinda Rupini, Samharini Rudra Rupa, Panchakritya Parayana. So Panchakritya Parayana means that it takes all these different forms for performing different roles. Tirodhanagarishwari, Samharini Rudra Rupa Tirodhanagarishwari, Sadashiva Anugrahada Panchakritya Parayana. That's a verse in the Lalita Sahasranama. Srishtikarti Brahma Rupa, Goptri Govinda Rupini, Samharini Rudra Rupa Tirodhanagarishwari, Sadashiva Anugrahada Panchakritya Parayana. These five things, what is done. So, this Panchakritya means creation, maintenance and destruction, three. Then the other two things is mentioned, Tirodhanagarishwari Sadashiva Anugrahada, capacity to bless others and Anugraham. That role is Sadashiva. And disappearance all is the Tirodhanam. Tirodhanam means disappearance of all. Tirodhanagarishwari Sadashiva Anugrahada Panchakritya Parayana. So these five things, creation, maintenance, destruction, all done from that Shakti it comes. So, and that Shakti is addressed as Ishvara in the Upanishads also. So Ishvara, when you say, what does that mean? Ishvara means this, referring to the Shakti, right? And without accepting the Shakti, without recognizing Shakti, and Vyavaharam also, it is difficult, because Shakti is not different from Shiva, right? Both are same, and Atma, which is Brahman, which is all the Turiyam state, right? It comes, this Shakti comes from Atma. Shakti comes. And that Shakti takes all these forms. Which one? Saraswati, Lakshmi, Durga. All are different names related to that Shakti only. Names are all coming later. But we have to see where it comes from originally, right? So that is what he is saying here. You will see, if you want to know these things more, you have to study Saundarya Lahiri. Saundarya Lahiri talks about it in detail. Yeah. Mahamaya Vishwam Brahmayadi Parabrahma Mahishi, it says. Mahamaya Vishwam Brahmayadi, the whole creation gets deluded by her. Parabrahma Mahishi, that power, Shakti. What is that Shakti? And it comes from Brahman, but it is not possible to understand her properly anytime. It is impossible to know her, right? And her position is like this. When you have this lavender plant, when you grow, you put a pandal for that. And how the lavender goes and spreads around all around the pandal, in the same way. When she is separately from Shiva, she remains as a Shakti. But when Shakti and Shiva join together, all these things happen, creation happens, and at that time, when we are not able to see the difference between Shakti and Shiva in any jiva, we will only see the manifestation, what is in front of us, right? So this Shiva Shakti, this is another way of saying the same thing. Names are used only to teach us these two things. Kshetram, Kshetrajna, Shiva Shakti. They are the different words used for the same thing. And when the Shakti allows us to come into contact with the Shiva, then Shakti will make situation favorable for us. In other words, if you keep on getting desires for enjoyment, bhoga vancha, it's called, what will happen is, the Shakti will give us, keep on giving us sense gratification. As long as we have attraction for the world, attraction for enjoyment, and attraction to be happy in this world, to survive here, when all those bhoga vancha desires are there, Shakti will keep giving us bhoga padartham, different things for sense gratification, right? And therefore, if when this desire goes away, don't want to enjoy anything anymore, no more attraction for the world, in that case, she will also provide apavargam. Apavargam means that freedom from the pavargam, which is sense gratification and all other things. She will make the facility for us to become free from her. But as long as we have desire for enjoyment, she'll keep supplying things for us to enjoy. And when we become free from that desire, and she will give us a facility for self-realization also. Both are in her control. So, that is why in bhakti process, all you have to do is to keep taking shelter of Krishna. Krishna's taking shelter, right? And whatever desires are that's coming, it is Krishna's duty then to get rid of the desires from inside. But taking shelter is more important, right? So that is how the bhakti process works. If you go into jnana margam, there is only one option left there. You have to become so detached, renounce from this world, and able to give up everything and walk away from the world. Walk away from the world, from home, from family, from society, everything. Give up everything and walk out from there, right? And even if you have a slightest ahangaram inside, slightest identification with the body, then jnana margam will not work. That means when you leave home, the people who have left home like that, walked away from home, giving up everything, and said goodbye once for all to everything in this world and gone to Himalayas and places like that, Rishikesh, and where they go, and they have given up all connection with the world and walked away. But if there is ahangaram inside, then it will be a very difficult process. You can't have ahangaram at all. You have to be totally free from any ahangaram inside for jnana margam, right? So, when in jnana margam, suppose you are in the jnana margam, but at the same time accepting this Shakti's position, right? And you can call that as also as a bhakti. That is what is called bhakti margam. So bhakti yogam is like that. Your attachment has gone, but at the same time you are not totally able to move away from her, and therefore you are taking your shelter of Krishna. And at the same time, developing vairagyam inside. That's bhakti margam, right? So, when you are in the bhakti margam, what does the Shakti do? What Shakti does is, that you have the desire for self-realization, at the same time, there is vasanas inside. So, what has to happen now is that, she will make arrangements so that your vasanas are all exhausted, and bhoga abhavarga pradayini, she is. That's the word they have used. Bhoga means vishaya bhogam, sense enjoyment. Not only that, not in that sense it is understood, But prarabdha bhogam, that means due to prarabdham, you may have some things to go through here, some sense gratification in some form, right? So she will get that done, and that way she will make you qualified for self-realization, and that is Ishvara. So Jiva, who is taking the shelter of Ishvara, and one who is progressing on that path, he is get the help of Shakti in that way. Jiva gets that help from Ishvara and finish up the prarabdham, and when he has become pure enough, then he will get the realization of the chitta inside, and that will be revealed to him. So in this way, Jnani also, one who realizes that the presence of that prajna, bodham, inside, and one who has realized that that is his actual swarupam, right, and he gets released from his bondage at that moment. It is not good enough in meditation only if you see that, but even when you are woken up from the meditation and in your wakened state also, if you get this realization all the time, then only you can see that you are released from the effect of Maya. Otherwise, it is a state. Sometimes in the dhyanam, in meditation state, you become free. But when you wake up, the world comes back again. So, if this world has to leave us completely, this has to happen all the time. Not only while in meditation stage. So, what Krishna is going to say, this is very subtle thing it is. This topic is very subtle from now on, what he is going to talk about, right? He is saying here that the dhyanam, all these processes, right, dhyanam has come inside and you have become free from the body. You have become free from the body. But once the dhyanam goes away, the world comes back again. And you become part of the world. That means the world is having a grip on us, right? But when you have come out of dhyanam, even at that stage, the world should not have any impact on you. Only then you can say that the realization is complete. And that's what Krishna is going to say this in the next three verses. He's going to explain that if you look at it. In the 26th verse, he mentioned a few things, right? He's saying here that this kshetram kshetrajnam relationship, vishaya vishayino vibhinna subhavayoho, idaredara dharma adhyas lakshanam samyogam, kshetra kshetrajna swarupa viveka bhava nibandhanam, Rajashuktigadinam tad viveka jnana bhavat adhyarobhidam sarparajadadi samyogavat. Bhash sa ayam adhyasa sarubam kshetra kshetrajna samyogam mithya jnana lakshanam. Because it is a very subtle thing, this connection between kshetram and kshetrajna. Through knowledge only, one has to become free from the illusion. And so, he says that if you look at this verse, he begins with this, samam sarveshu bhudeshu tishtandam parameshwaram വിനശ്യൽസ് വിനശ്യന്തം യ പശ്യതി സ പശ്യതി. You know this thing what Krishna has spoken before, samadarshanam. This samadarshanam, how do we understand this? Samam sarveshu bhuteshu tishtantam parameshwaram. That means in our realization, this namarupam has to go from inside. Like now we are only seeing namarupam everywhere, is it not? So through knowledge and through upasana, you have come to realize that our actual identity is Antaryami inside. But to spread this into others, this realization, he says, Tishtandam Parameshwaram Vinashyalsu Vinashyandam Yapashyadi Sapashyadi. He's saying, Lord Shiva, Brahma, onwards, all living beings, in body, mind, senses, in all of them, all kinds of changes happen. What kind of changes, right? In the case of vigaram, bhavam vigaram, he says, that as long as there is a form, there will be changes. And the here Krishna is going to say in the 28th verse, look at these three verses. 27, 28, 29, which is Samam Sarveshu Bhudeshu Tishtandam Parameshwaram Vinashyalsu Vinashyandam Ya Pashyati Sapashyati. And then he is saying Samam Pashyanhi Sarvatra Sama Vastidam Ishwaram Nahinasti Alpman Alpmanam Tato Yadi Parangadim. And then he said Prakritiyavacha Karmani Kriyamanani Sarvasha Ya Pashyati Tathalpmanam Akartaram Sapashyati. These three verses, if you look at that, Krishna saying that he's talking about people who have got real vision, proper vision. Yeah, what does that mean, right? What he's saying is that in that Bhajagovindam prayers also, it is spoken the same thing. Pashyan nabhigrata pashyadi mutha. ജഡിലൈ മുണ്ടി ലുഞ്ചിത കേശം കാഷായാംബര ബഹുകൃത വേഷം പശ്യന്നഭികൃത പശ്യതി വേഷം ഉദരനിമിത്തം ബഹുകൃത വേഷം. റൈറ്റ്? സോ വി ആർ സീയിങ് തിങ്സ് ബട്ട് വി ആർ നോട്ട് സീയിങ്. ദാറ്റ്സ് എ ഫസ്റ്റ് തിങ് വി ആർ ഓൾ സീയിങ് തിങ്സ് ബട്ട് വി ആർ നോട്ട് സീയിങ്. റൈറ്റ്? ആൻഡ് വി കീപ് ഓൺ സീയിങ് തിങ്സ് ബട്ട് വി ആർ നോട്ട് സീയിങ്. Andha Paramparaya Samsara Sarani. In other words, this world is a procession of blind people. We are all supposed to be, from Shastram point of view, we are blind. Because we are not seeing anything properly, right? And this world is driven by blind men, blind people, right? And those blind people are leading this world, and the followers are also blind. That's our present state. Yeah. I know it may hurt us when they say like that, but actually it is like that. Blind people are leading the world, is it not? Big politicians, scientists. From Shastram point of view, they are all blind. They don't know how to, they can't see things properly, in other words. That's what Krishna's point is. And the followers naturally are blind. That's why they are following the blind people. Right? So, um, So the society, the world, what we address as society, right? People decided that, blind people together decided to have a society. And that's this world. We're all actually mad in this world to be a part of this world and to think that everything is fine. And because society gives you an impression like that, that somehow I have to survive here, you also have to survive, so we keep some relationship on that level, right? So, all blind people together made an organization, right? And they said that everybody else has got organization, why don't we have an organization, group of our own, right? Till now, the rule was that the people who are in their meeting, they discussed it, the blind people. And they said, till now, people who have got good vision, they who have got eyes, they were leading the blind people. That was the system. Now, that has to change. He said, we don't want their domination on us. And we have to have our own rights. And therefore, he said, we can manage our own. So they chose one another blind person to lead the blind society, members of the blind society, right? And because they were saying that why they are so important, just because they got the eyes, is it? That's not important. We can also manage on our own in this way. So you will see that in the in that Antaya Thandai Rupaniyamanam Tebishadandyam Urudamni Badha. In Bhagavadam you will say that. Andhaya Thandai Rupaniyamanam, one Andha leading another Andha. One blind man leading another blind person, right? So when they are talking about this blindness, what does it mean? It is not this I he is talking about. What he is saying is, for example, so when the Brahmanas are given the Upanayanam ceremony, when the sacred thread is given to them, what they will say is that Upanayanam means bringing the person close to the Acharya in that way. Right. So actually what is important is that Upanayanam, it seems that even though we have two eyes, we are not seeing the thing what we should be seeing. We are not seeing that, right? So therefore, they give you a third eye, which is Vedam, and able to see things through Vedam. This is why Upanayanam ceremony is. So, actually Upanayanam is to give the child a third eye called Vedam and train him to see through the Vedam this world. Through this world. So, Jnani is after a while take out that eye, right? And Upanayanam ceremony is not important in the sense that if your eye has opened inside properly and you have become free from that avidya, then this Upanayanam ceremony is not required anymore. So Tesham Brahmam Jnanameva Yajna Sutram. Because Brahmajnanam, the knowledge has opened up inside. Therefore, this Yajna Sutram is not required anymore. So, therefore, this another eye is required to see things clearly. And that is what Krishna is saying here. Samam Pashyan Hi Sarvatra Samavastidam Ishwaram Samam Sarveshu Bhudeshu. Yeah. What is this Samam Samam? He is saying this in these verses. Samam sarveshu bhudeshu tishtandam parameshwaram vinashyalso vinashyandam yapashyati sapashyati. Everything is dying. Body is dying. All bodies are dying. Right? But in all the bodies he is present. And he is not dying. He stays stable. That's what he says. Samam sarveshu bhudeshu tishtantam parameshwaram vinashyalsu avinashyandam yapashyati sapashyati. One who is able to see that one thing that doesn't die in everyone, in everything, right? So, you know this one thing, that you require a special eye to see this. A special eye. So, when we are talking about eye, it doesn't mean these external eyes. That's not what it is referring to. What it is spoken here is that the way we are experiencing this world now is all through Namarupam. Name and form, name and form. That's all we know. We don't know anything else, right? But Krishna is saying that first thing is that vinashyalsu avinashyandam yapashyati sapashyati. One who can come to see that one permanent thing present in everybody, even though all the names and forms disappear, that one thing remains in everyone, and able to see that is seeing properly. First requirement, he says like that. Yeah. So that is the first thing he said. You know this samam pashyati sarvatra, what he said, right? In the normal society, in the ordinary mortal world, right? All these social reformers and all, they all are thinking how we can have peace together when everybody is equal and nobody feels envy towards each other. How to come to, because everyone has to be equal then, right? So they see that everybody should be equal, right? And it is from that desire only these different philosophies have come. Socialism, communism, and all isms have come because these thinkers of the society, they came out with this idea that if you have an equal society, we won't have any problems. That is the more justification for that. Communism comes from that. Socialism also comes like that because of this desire to bring equality in the society. And they tried in different places, but some places they said everybody will have the similar clothes to wear. Nobody should wear expensive clothes and somebody who doesn't have the... That's all coming from the capitalism nature, right? So capitalism, communism, socialism and all these things are all looking for something where there can be some kind of peace in the society, right? They brought that into clothes, they brought that into diet, into the food. None of them worked, right? The intention was good, but in experience level, it was a failure. It didn't work. Russia tried that very much, right? So, this samam pashyanhi sarvatra, what Krishna is saying, if you ask the question, is it possible to seek samam in this world? No, it's not possible, right? Because the world itself is vishamam, not samam. Here, samam opposite is vishamam. Vishamam means that it's always in an unbalanced state. Somebody will have more, somebody will have less. Somebody will have health, somebody won't have health. Somebody will have a lot of wealth, somebody won't have wealth. Right. And everybody is different. Every one of us, our body is different, and our age is different, right? And so because our bodies are different, our age is different, similarly, naturally, the diet also, the food what we eat also will be different, right? For example, a child who is just born, and or an 80-year-old man, you can't give the same food to both of them, isn't it? So, similarly, dress also, clothes also, and everybody or a young girl, she will have a certain way of dress, and an old man will have another way of dress. So, in Vyavaharam, if you try to bring this Samabuddhi, it is not possible. In Vyavaharam, if you try to bring this Samabuddhi, it is not possible. And it will all fail at the end. So, keeping this samabuddhi, you cannot do any vyavaharam in this world, right? So, for example, if you keep bring samabuddhi into an organization, it will not work, is it not? For example, in an organization, if you say everybody is equal, it won't work. Chairman, managing director, chief executive and all, they are on a different level. Similarly, the ordinary worker in the factory or in the security, those people will be different, right? So, the swabhavam of this world itself is vishamam, not samam. That's the first thing to understand. Swabhavam of this world itself is vishamam. By very nature it is like that. Samam is not possible, right? So, if this samatvam, what Krishna is talking about, samam pashyan hi sarvatra, sama avasthitam ishwaram, is saying there, right? So, the world by its very nature is vishamam, not samam, right? So, if the samatvam doesn't come in this world between living entities, different people, right? This vishamam tvam situation now, it should not cause any problem for us, because this world, by very nature it is vishamam, and you are trying to make it samam. And this work, what we are trying to do, is called a samsaram. That's called a samsaram, right? Samsara svapna tulyobi raga dveshadi sangulaha. What does that mean? It means that this feeling in everyone, that world should, everything should be equal, where is that coming from? In our mind, yeah? My world I am creating through my ragadvesham, and because of my ragadvesham, ragadvesham means my attachment and aversion in me, I have that in this world, I have certain attachment for certain things, aversion towards something else, right? So, because it is there, ragadvesham is in everyone. Basically, all namarupam in this world, I am not able to see. Namarupam is vishamam, different. Namam, rupam, vishamam, different. Different situation for everybody in this world. Because of my ragadvesham, I am not able to see the samam behind all this vishamam. Samam is Krishna. I am not able to see that samam. Rather, because of my ragadvesham, I can only see the vishamam in there. Right? So, you can see this in the festival times, different personalities in Ramayanam, Mahabharatam, they will create the forms of those personalities and kept for sale during the Navaratri festival and all that. Yeah, Ramachandra, Lakshmana, and similarly Sita Devi, Krishna, Rukmini, and similarly all other incarnations, Malsyam, Kurmam, Varaham, they will make all these different forms, and they will sell them in the festival times. Right? Similarly, when Ramayanam characters are created, you will have Ramachandra, Lakshmana, Sita Devi and all, Bharata, and similarly Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Shurpanaja, all of them will be there. Or if it is from Bhagavatam, Pudana and many other characters like that. So when people come to buy them, they were more interested in buying only Ramachandra's deity or Krishna's deity or Rukmini's deity. But all of them were made from the same thing, but others, they are not interested in going and shopping for the certain deities, because in the ragadvesham inside, They are all made from the same thing inside, the same material, right? And when they come, the people who come to buy them, when they see the deities of Ramachandra and Krishna and all, they'll be very respectful towards those forms. But when they see the deities of Shurpanaka or Pudana or Ravana, they will ignore completely. They'll look with contempt in those forms, right? So, and similarly, all the crowd will be there to buy the deities of Ramachandra, Lakshmana or Sita Devi or Krishna, right? And suppose these deities are sometimes made from expensive material, for example, silver or even gold, if you make them. If somebody comes to steal them, he won't look at whose deity it is. For him, it is only what matters is the material with which he is made. If it is gold, he will rather take Ravana's form because it's more expensive. There's more gold in that, right? So, someone comes and he saw that Ravana's is more expensive. He took that and put it in his bag. And then Kumbhakarna, he put that in the bag. And in him, he has no Veda Buddhi, is it not? He has no Veda Buddhi. He is not looking at it like the way an ordinary person is looking at it, the thief. Thief is only looking at it, the material cost of the material, because that's what he is looking at. We are looking at it, the one who is coming to buy, we are looking at, with our raga dvesham, we are looking at it. So therefore we say Ramchandra is important, Sita Devi is important, Krishna is important in that way. So, and that's what they call it as Kanayaiva Mahabuddhi, seeing that reality behind that. Yeah. Their vision is in the gold which was used. So, and what name you have given to it is not important. They only see the gold. So, so the various personalities from the Ramayanam who are presented there, right? And different people are coming and looking at it, and they bought different deities from there. Somebody gave a beautiful deity of Ravana, and he said, "No, I don't want this," he said, right? And another person to Manthara. Manthara's deity was given, right? So those deities, there was no one to buy them. And when he saw the deity of the person whom he has aversion towards that, the shopkeeper said to him that I can make with that deity, because the size of the deity and everything he liked, he said, I can melt it and make Ramachandra out of it. From the deity of Manthara, I can make the deity of Ramachandra from that, he said. So then this buyer says to him, right, this was Ravana before, now you want to make it as Ramachandra in that way, right? So asakti, or that attachment and aversion due to ragadvesham, doesn't leave us easily. It is so strong inside that in this world, when you look at it, others, our ragadvesham will come in it. It is not possible to take it off. Krishna is saying here, if we have to see this samam pashyanhi sarvatra, this ragadvesham has to leave you first. Only then it is possible. So these verses are very difficult to translate into life. Till ragadvesham goes away, this samam sarveshu bhudeshu tishtandam parameshwaram, similarly samam pashyanhi sarvatra samavastitam ishwaram, won't happen. Till ragadvesham completely goes away from inside. That's the first thing to know from that, right? So, so you have ragam towards Ramachandra and dvesham towards Ravana. Similarly, ragam towards Krishna and dvesham towards Kamsa, right? If you ask the question, is that not fair to be like that? The answer is that when you are in the lower level of spiritual life, you can have that. The lowest level, right? But that ragadvesham should not be there in the higher level. Higher level it has to go. Because it is in that higher level all this is spoken about. Samam pashyan hi sarvatra samavastitam ishwaram. Yeah? So, you can see that if you study Bhagavatam and Ramayanam, you will see there that Krishna had Krishna looks at Kamsa and Prahlada, maybe looks a little different, right? But Kamsa got liberated. Prahlada also got liberated. You see? That is the secret behind it. That when you look at things through ragadvesham, which means normal people like us, you can differentiate. But in the advanced state, this discrimination has to go. Once ragadvesham has gone, you will be able to see them in the same level. And that's what this verse is talking about, these three verses. 27, 28, yeah, 28, 29 and 30. Samam sarveshu bhudeshu tishtandam parameshwaram vinashyalsu vinashyandam yapashyati sapashyati samam pashyanhi sarvatra samavastitam ishwaram nahinastyatman atmanam tato yadi parangarim. That means as long as ragadvesham is there, all this is not going to be become practical. It is not practical, right? Similarly, you can see that Kamsa got liberated, Prahlada also got liberated. That means in Krishna's position, there is no ragadvesham. Not favoring Kamsa or against Kamsa or favoring Prahlada. No. Kamsa and Prahlada for Krishna is the same. Krishna is the same, right? And similarly, Ravana got liberated. Ravana got liberated, right? Also, Uddhava got liberated. So, if you are come to that level of self-realized state, Krishna is all doing in the self-realized state, right? So, if you are looking from there, then there is no difference between Ravana and Rama, Ramachandra and Ravana, right? But if you look at it from the lower levels, Rama and Ravana, you can only look at them with a difference. When you see, you will curse Ravana for all what he has done. And you will glorify Ramachandra for all his... That is how bhakti starts in the beginning. Yeah. Isn't it? Yeah. So, so Vinoba Bhave, he used to say this. He said that when you begin, you should start as though you love Rama and you hate Ravana. That way you have to start, right? After some time, what will happen is, right, you will reach a state where you couldn't even hate Ravana when you are purified. It has to come to that stage, right? How is that possible? Because if you look at Ravana's body and his swabhavam, right, nobody can like him. Nobody will like him, right? Similarly, for a devotee to hate the swabhavam of Rama or Rama's form, it is difficult for him to hate for a devotee, right? But knowing this, Rama's body and Rama's qualifications are all nothing to do with the real Rama Andaryami inside. It's all in the Swabhavam only, not in the Surupam. So, you have to come to that level of realization that Swabhavam, everybody is different. In Swarupam, everybody is the same. Whether it is Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Vibhishana, Prahlada, Uddhava, Kamsa, whoever it may be, in Swarupam, they are all same. There is no difference at all, right? So till we come to that state, that same vastu is present in everyone. Then at that stage, there is no Rama, there is no Ravana. That goes away, right? And that is what he is saying here, that you seeing Samam everywhere. And that is what our Krishna is saying in these words. Samam pashyanhi sarvatra, samam avastidam ishwaram, nahinasti alpman alpmanam, tato yadi parangirim. Only if you have come to that state, you get free. You become free. Till then, you are conditioned soul in bondage here. So, we'll discuss it after a few minutes.
Chedo darpanamarjanam bhavmahadavagni nirvapanam shrayakaitavachandriya vidaranam vidhyavadhu jivanam anandambudivardhanam pradipadapurnam radaswadhanam sarvapnasubanam paramijayade Shri Krishna Sangirtanam Namna Amagari Bahuda Nijasarva Shakti Tatrarpida Nimida Smarane Nagada Yeda Drishi Dhavagrava Bhagavan Mamavi Durdeva Midrashamihajani Nanuragaha Tranarabi Shuni Jaina Tarorabi Sahishnuna Amani Namanadena Kirtani Sadahari Matanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavidam Jagadisha Kamai Mamajanmani Janmani Shwari Bhavadal Bhaktira Haidogitui Ayi nanda danu jagingaram padida mam shame bhavam budo kruvaya tava pada panga jastida duli sadrasham vichindayam ganada shudharaya vadanam gadgadruddhaya gira pulagair nijadam gadava bhutavanna magrahane bhavishyadi yuga idam nimeshena chakshusha pravisha idam shunya idam jagal sarvam govinda virahena me Anshlishyava padaradam pinashtumam adarshanam marmahadam garoduva yadha dhadava vidadadulam vado matprananathastuneva napara sarvatra govinda nama sankirtanam govinda govinda
So Yaval samjayade kinjil sattvam stavara jangamam Kshetra Kshetratnya Samyogal Tadvidhi Bharadarshava. So, this Kshetratnya and Ishwara is one. In order to make that clearer, that this verse, Yaval samjayade kinjil sattvam stavira jangamam kshetra kshetraja samyogal tadvidhi bharadarshabha. Otherwise, everything has come from combination of kshetram and kshetrajnam. Kshetrajna. Right. And this relationship within kshetram, kshetrajna is very complicated in the sense that we find it difficult as we saw before that the Shiva and Shakti, in same way of saying that, Kshetram and Kshetrajna, that Shakti is the power that controls us. We are within her field always. And therefore, when we have desires, means that she will make us to fulfill the desires. She will make the facility for that, facilitate for the fulfillment of desires. Only when the desires completely leaves us, when this desire for becoming free comes, realization, self-realization comes in us, that time that facility comes to us, and that transformation from that state to self-realized state, one has to go through these two verses. What he is talking about. from the state of bondage, when we are within the jurisdiction of Maya, when we have vasanas, and when we have desires, the relationship with the Shakti is such that she will provide all the facilities for sense gratification and for fulfilling the vasanas continuously. And when there is no knowledge inside, we will become trapped in that cycle. She will control us completely and we will be in that state forever, unable to become free from that. But when an opportunity comes, that when Krishna is saying here, that this knowledge of Kshetram Kshetrajna becomes stronger inside, and when a desire comes from to become free from the grip of Maya, the vasanas goes away one after the other, and then fresh vasanas are not created. That's the important thing. Fresh vasanas are not created, and at the same time, the desire to become free from the influence of Maya becomes stronger on self-realization. At that point, these verses become more relevant. From here, the journey begins. Samam sarveshu bhudeshu tishtandam parameshwaram vinashyalsu vinashyantam yapashyati sapashyati. So, when does this verse becomes relevant? At that stage. Otherwise, when you are completely in the control of Maya, these things are difficult to become an experience, because what we have in the grip of Maya, we are always seeing everything in this world as name and form, nothing else. Only name and form is seen, right? So, that's what we are talking about here. In the early stages, when we are in the grip of Maya, and when you begin our spiritual life, at that stage, we will see everything through ragadvesham. Until ragadvesham leaves us, this vision is impossible to happen. Samam pashenhi, all these two verses, samam sarveshu bodeshu, tishtandam parameshwaram, right? So, the thing is that to looking at people, others, in this way, that tishtandam parameshwaram, able to start seeing in others Krishna's presence, parameshwaram, right? And if you have that knowledge that Krishna is present inside, then you can see samam, equal. Then it is possible to know Krishna is present in every. It is Krishna who is present in them. So that vision, equal vision, comes from that. Means that you are not looking at the body anymore. So this is a sadhana worthwhile to practice it to some extent possible, right? For example, when you see a person, the first impression inside is, in your mind, some thoughts about him will come. Anybody. That's normal in this world. We'll think, oh, he's like that anyway. Or you sometimes you admire people. Sometimes you think of them in a negative way. The thoughts will come inside everybody. Naturally, right? Not to give importance to that. What thoughts comes at that time. Not to give importance to that. And because we may have heard certain things about him. He has done this, he has done that, and all kinds of things, right? And that kind of knowledge, Vishayajnanam it is called, it's poison. It is a poison, right? But the problem is, you need that knowledge for Vyavaharam. This is the difficulty, right? For Vyavaharam purposes, you need to know the other person, what kind of person he is, whether he is trustworthy. Otherwise, everybody will take advantage. So, for Vyavaharam purposes, Vishayajnanam is necessary. For spiritual life, Vishayajnanam is a problem. It's a problem, actually, right? So, that means internally it is a danger to keep that knowledge, right? But when you are inside a society, it is difficult because two people are talking to each other, right? So someone else comes in between, you will naturally say, who is this person, who is he, right? The other person says, oh, you don't know him, he says. And naturally there will be some comments about him, the person who has come, right? And that will register in you. Suppose somebody tells me about another person something, that he is like that. That impression will stay in me, it won't go when I deal with that person. He may not be aware of that. Suppose you have told me about somebody, that what you have said will stay in my mind. It will not go, isn't it? In the world it is like that. It's always that the big problem it is, because that person hasn't done anything to you, but the other person may have had some bad experience from him, and he is saying to you, oh, he's like this. That's enough. That will stay inside you, and that will cause problems, right? So if something gets registered like that within us, right, you are not, from that onwards, you are not seeing him body or anything, but that impression is in you. You may not be remembering even his form or his name, but that impression what you have got about him stays inside, right? So that is the concept I have about him in my mind, right? In this way, about everybody we have the same thing, right? And including your mother, father, wife, children, about everybody this effect is there, isn't it? At home, if you look, husband will have some concept about the wife, wife will have some concept about the impression about the husband. Similarly, parents will have some concept about the children. Children also knows about the parents, what they are like. So like this, all of us carry impressions about others within us, right? So this one thing, one has to be careful when we go particularly to spiritual institutions. That's where the problem happens. At home you can't avoid it. It is for vyavaharam purposes you have to deal with it like that, right? If this concepts, if you create inside about spiritual organizations, spiritual personalities at the temples or ashrams or places like that, if you have developed a bhavam like that inside about someone, then you will be able to see those people only with that bhavam. Right? Therefore, particularly spiritual leaders in the society who have got spiritual understanding, right? We should only have connection with them on the spiritual level. You should not cultivate any relationship with people on a material level. With the spiritual institutions and with spiritual leaders in the society, the connection should always be on a spiritual level, not on a material level, right? Because if it has come, you know, vyavaharam begins with them. If you do vyavaharam with them, then it will develop into a dangerous situation later. So, probably sometimes it may think that it is seva and all that, but that seva can develop into problems. It will become vyavaharam, and sometimes any kind of little misunderstanding comes inside or you find some fault in them, then that knowledge also will not benefit the people. Whatever that, from that spiritual relationship, whatever the relationship it hums, it may go without any benefit from that, right? So, in all situations, whether it is with father, mother, and similarly relatives, wife, children, all of them, you can look at this way, how we our relationship is with them, right? So if you are only seeing their body and mind, it will create a lot of problems, right? So it is important to understand this, at least, even if that's not totally practical. Sometimes, because we are not that advanced spiritually that we can deal with the world in that way, because we our spiritual life is also mixed with vyavaharam. It's all going side by side, isn't it? So, but it is important that in spiritual life, not to mix this principle, right? That seeing this samam, what Krishna is saying there, samam sarveshu bhuteshu tishtandam parameshwaram vinashyalsu vinashyandam yapashyati sapashyati. Put it very nicely, he's saying there that I will only see the samam, I won't see the vishamam in a person, right? And you can look at it this way, one person's body is not like the same like another person's body. They are different, are they not, right? Similarly, one person's mind is different from another person's mind also. just like my mind and my body is affecting my behavior, surupam, yeah? My swabhavam. My mind and my body will affect my swabhavam, but it does not affect my surupam. Surupam is not affected by anything. Surupam is always free, never touched by body or the mind or the swabhavam. But swabhavam is affected, surupam is not affected. Similarly, this is the principle behind it. We can only talk about the principle, but to bring that into practice, you got to practice it for a long time. That just like my body and my mind does not affect my surupam, similarly, your body and your mind is not affecting your surupam. This knowledge is required to practice this. To practice what Krishna is saying here, this knowledge is required. That means, my body and mind is not affecting my surupam, it's only affecting my swabhavam. Similarly, your body and your mind is not affecting your surupam. In surupam, you are all same as anybody else. Everybody is the same on surupam level. But it affects your swabhava. That's all it is, right? So naturally, because I don't think in those lines, therefore, when I see a person in a natural way, I start thinking, certain thoughts comes to me in my mind about that person, right? And so, without giving importance to his body or the mind of that person, or the thoughts that's coming in my mind, not giving importance to any of those things, if you simply remember these words and start thinking, that's a soul there, Krishna is present inside, and if you can give importance to that thought at the time when you meet that person, and if you practice that, it becomes an upasana. That's what he's saying here. And able to bring that strongly inside, this understanding, to strong in everyone in this world, while dealing with everyone in this world. That his swarup, his swabhavam, or his mind and the body is different from everybody else. That you have to recognize. But the Antaryami inside is the same, is not different. Like everybody has the same Antaryami inside. And if that you can give stress on that, then then what will happen? What Krishna is saying, yapashyati sapashyati. That's when that yapashyati sapashyati comes. Yeah? Vinashyatsu avinashyandam yapashyati sapashyati. Vinashyatsu avinashyandam means that body, mind, everything is changing, but he, Insul Antaryami, is not affected by that. It's pretty heavy words in the sense that for upasana purposes, Krishna is saying that. Samam sarveshu bhuteshu tishtandam parameshwaram vinashyalsu avinashyandam. He, that parameshwaram who is inside, he is not affected by anything. So when we look at any person, we have to look at this way. We are supposed to be looking at this way. Otherwise, what will happen if you look at people through ragadvesham? Because it's always there. Ragadvesham will be there. Everybody is not a pure devotee, isn't it? In the temples, ashrams, everywhere when you go, you will get to see all kinds of people. And because the ragadvesham is inside, you will start seeing people in a way that looking at their body, mind, and then start judging them. And then naturally you will form some impression inside about them. And that is not a good thing. Krishna is saying for spiritual life, that should be avoided. And therefore, Trishtandam vinashyalsu avinashyandam yapashyadi savashyadi. He is saying that. Yeah. So, one who is seeing like that is the one who is really seeing things. Yapashyadi sapashyadi. Right? And such people who can see like that are called rishis. Rishis means that. Darshanam. Right? One who has got the power for proper darshanam. Properly seeing things. Not like the way we see things, but seeing things in the proper way. That's what Krishna calls it as darshanam, proper darshanam, right? One who has got that strength to do like that is called krishi. So that means without seeing the body or the mind, only able to see the presence of Atma in a person, Andaryami inside such a person. If you see like that, what is the benefit? What is the benefit? Then what will happen is that whomever you are seeing at that time, one who is seeing him, for him it is Ishvara Darshanam. Krishna's presence only, he is seeing there, right? So even though he is in the middle of so many people, he is in a solitude because he is not affected by them. If we get affected by others, others' behavior, because everybody is different, Swabhavam is different. Swabhavastu pravartade, Krishna says. Swabhava vijayam shavirayam. So many places, Swabhavam, Krishna talks about that. Yeah. So Swabhavam, if we can keep away and look at the Surubam in anyone, then you can escape from this problem. Otherwise not, right? Remember that conversation, Ashtavakra Gita, conversation between Ashtavakra Maharshi and Janaka. Janaka says the same thing, right? Janaka says that even though I am in the middle of so many people, I am not able to see another second person here, he says, in everywhere, because he has gone to that level of realization, right? I feel as though I am staying inside a deep forest, means I feel so solitude here, even though I am in the middle of so many people. And therefore, whom I can hate anyone, and whom with whom can I have any relationship, because there is nobody else existing here except me, says Janaka to Ashtavakra Maharshi, right? And that is why he is saying here that the next verse, that's what it is. Samam pashyan hi sarvatra, samam avastitam ishwaram, nahinas altman altmanam, tato yadi parangadim. So these two verses, 27 and 28, they go together. First 27, Krishna is saying that how the vision should be. And when that happens, right, what will be his situation then? That is samam pashyan hi sarvatra, samam avastitam ishwaram. Nahinasti altman altmanam tato yadi paramgadim. Right? So, first class people. First class means those who are doing sadhana on a very higher level. Those who are doing sadhana on a very higher level, uttama sadhakas they are called, they will analyze these two verses all the time inside their mind. These two verses will be there. What they're trying to tell us is how to become, move away from the body, as much as body and the mind. Because once you have accepted the reality, you see, spiritual knowledge is not very complicated.
only thing is this realization is the difficult process. Knowledge as such is not difficult because it's very simple. We are not the body, we are not the mind, we are not the intelligence, we are not the senses. We are that vastu inside, Antaryami, Krishna, inside. That's what we are actually. All the other things are peripheral things which has come due to our avidya inside. But this journey from the body to that Antaryami, that's what is taking, going to take time, right? So here he is saying here that the samam pashyan hi sarvatra sam avasthitam ishwaram nahinasti atman alpanam, that wherever you look, you are only seeing Krishna then. You won't see anything because you are only seeing Paramatma only if you accept in anyone, Antaryami, right? So they say that in Jagrat and Swapnam, always also is only the same darshanam, right? So one who is in that state, samam pashyan hi sarvatra. Samam means Krishna, Antaryami, inside, right? Or one who is seeing Krishna is everywhere, in everyone. He is not giving any problem to himself. He won't cause any problem for himself. Nahina syalpman alpanam means that. Nahina syalpman alpanam. Whereas, one who is seeing the body and the person, sobhavam, that person, right, he is disturbing himself. Suppose if you are only seeing the body and his sobhavam only, if that's all you are carrying within you, then you are giving trouble to yourself. Yeah? You remember that famous story about Ekanath Swami, what he did, right? He was such a samabuddhi he had, Ekanath, samabuddhi, right? And so, Shutvanebhim Upasade, he has reached that state, he was a Shruti Parayana. You see, there were a lot of people who are in that category, Shruti Parayana. His guru, Janardana Swami, right? Whatever guru tells him, he will listen. He will listen to it, right? And without any difficulty, able to he followed the guru's instructions, right? Guru told him to get married, and he got married, right? And he stayed as a grihastha because guru told him to do so. And even though he got married, no change in him. Exactly the same person, right? And he has famous commentary on the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, Ekanadi Bhagavatam, right? Then Hastamalaka, for example, Ajari Swami's disciple, right? So, and he has written commentary on that as well. Hastamalaka Gita, he has written commentary on that. Similarly, he has not written many books, only selected topics related to self-realization. He wrote commentary on the Ekadasha Skandam in the Bhagavatam. He wrote commentary on the Hastamalaka Gita. He wrote commentary on the Chatushloki Bhagavatam. Only the four verses he has commented on that, right? And all of that is coming from his realizations. Shrutasya Upasade. So, whatever Guru says to him, he will do it. It's interesting, his whole story, right? So, in one instance, some people try to give him trouble. And one person was sent to spit at him, and you know that story I mentioned before. He'll go and bathe in the river and come back, right? Again, that person spat at him. Again, he went and bathed himself, right? After 27 times, this person who was spitting on him, he also felt it bad at that moment. He went and offered obeisances to him and asked him, how could you do this? That every time I spat at you, you were able to go to the river, bathe yourself and come back, right? So, and how did this happen? That you went and bathed himself? He says,
that is due to my Guru Maharaj. He has given me that realization, right? So, because of that, what happened? 27 times I got the opportunity to bathe in Godavari River. That was his answer, right? Not getting annoyed, upset about that, right? So, whatever you have spat at me, when I bathe in the Godavari River gets polluted because of your spitting on me, right? But I came out pure. And whereas if I have developed some hate towards this person who spat, that hate will not be possible to wipe it off or clean it up, even if I bathe in the Godavari River, because that goes inside. Outside I can clean it up, but inside what will I do? This was Ekanath's reply towards him, right? So, so because it cannot be cleaned up once it is inside, it is, we have to be more careful about that than the filth outside, dirt outside, right? So, when we hate someone by any reason due to this kind of things, right? So, what is happening is that our consciousness, in our bhavam, that person who has gone inside us, right? Our hate inside, what hate we have, ragadvesham inside, that dvesham takes his form, right? And after that, that person is not in us. What we have about him is that form of the hate about that is inside us. It's no more possible to see him as a person. We will only see him through our dvesham towards him, through the hate of that person, right? Similarly, if you are envious towards someone, you will see your envy inside in that person, right? So, our envy, its external form is that person, or our hate, its external form is that person outside, right? Lust, anger, everything is in the same way, right? And that means the emotion I have inside, whether it is lust, anger, or hate, or envy, or pride, whatever it is, its external manifestation is that person. So, if I protect that, my internal emotions, yeah, if I if I look after that, not allow that, then these external forms won't affect me, right? So, that is what Krishna is saying here, that when you see someone outside, not allow your kamam, krotham, lobham, all the other moham, madam, malsaryam, with all that, if you see that namarupam outside, right, what you are doing is, you are giving trouble to yourself. You are disturbing yourself, right? And more than giving trouble to that person, you are giving trouble to yourself, right? So, you can know that when you get angry, what happens? You actually torture yourself with that anger, isn't it? So, body gets heated up, the mind gets very emotional, right? And even sometimes your food doesn't get digested if you got very angry, right? Sometimes we don't get sleep because somebody has upset you. We say, oh, has anybody upset you? We ask the person. But the problem is that we allowed that, it's only because of absence of this, samam pashyanhi sarvatra. Krishna says that one has to come up in this way, out of it, right? Actually, we are giving trouble to ourselves, right? So, one who is able to see like that, he says, samam pashyanhi sarvatra, samam avasthidam ishwaram, that person or one who is doing sadhana in that way, one who does not move away from his yoga state. Yoga state is that samam pashyani sarvatra. So if he does not move away from that yoga state, then he is not giving, Krishna says, nahinasti alpan alpanam, he is not giving any trouble to himself. Right? And so if you don't want to give trouble to yourself for your own spiritual growth, spiritual advancement, he is saying that you have to develop this vision of seeing Krishna's presence in everybody and not see this swabhavam, only the swarupam. Only the swarupam, right? That means if you have reached a state that you are not seeing any more swabhavam, only the swarupam in a person, to such an extent, if your upasana has become strong, then, or your dhyanam, or your bhakti, or your jnanam, then, whatever you look in this world outside, wherever you go, whomever you see here, then asakti won't come and you are safe then. You are safe then, and that jiva is liberated then. So this is a requirement. You know, I mean, Krishna has bluntly said that in the Bhagavad Gita like this, but you can see in the Bhagavadam also the same thing. He is saying, sarva-bhudeshu yapashyet bhagavad bhavam alpana. That's what it is. That same verse. Bhagavadottama, first class devotee, in other words. So there is no alternative to that, except to get to that stage somehow. In other words, not to look at swabhavam, rather look at the swarupam. And that knowledge is what Krishna is stressing here, that you are safe, then he is liberated and he won't have any problem after that from outside. And it's a very highly elevated state to come to that state here. So one has to try and practice it and see if it helps or not, right? Several times this problem comes in life, everyday dealings with other people, when you have to deal with other people, this will always come, right? And you will know at that time where you stand spiritually. If the anger is coming, it means that there is still a long way to go. Or hate comes towards someone, or any other emotions like envy, pride, all these things are coming inside, means there is a long way to go. So, if there is sufficient bhakti inside, and then you will notice it, that outwardly you have difficulty with the situation, but how far it's causing problem inside, you will notice it, that the same thing is coming in, right? So just like after some time, what will happen is that just like if you know something is getting very hot, you don't want to touch it anymore. You know that it's going to cause problems, you won't touch it. Similarly, that outside vastu also, outward people also, right? When you start realizing that it is going to cause problem for me, if I hate somebody, or if I get angry with someone, it is going to cause problem for me, if I come to realize that, and that if I get that insight, that it's going to cause problem for me, then that insight alone will protect me, if I have that insight, not to get affected by that. Yeah. So that is what he is saying here.
Samam Pashyanhi Sarvatra Samam Avasthitam Ishwaram. Right? Able to see Ishwara who is present in everyone samam, equally. Right?
Nahinasti Atmana Atmanam.
Such a person who is come, who has developed this upasana, this sadhana, Krishna considers this as sadhana, not the 16 rounds or other things. Because they are, those sadhana is, these are actual sadhana. The other sadhana is for one purpose only, so that you don't go and do wrong things, to keep you out of trouble. The other sadhana, 16 rounds and all that, it is for that purpose. This is the actual sadhana, what Krishna is saying here, that a person who is in this state, he goes, wherever he goes in this world, he has no enemies anywhere, and everyone is a friend, and what to say, even the animals and birds and all of them in the forest, they will all become like that, you become your friends. And that's what is shown in the Ramayanam, when all the monkeys wanted to help Ramachandra to build the bridge there, that famous thing, right? And even squirrels came to help because of this nature. In Ramayanam, that story, famous story, right? So they all helped Ramachandra to build that bridge because of this vision inside, Ramachandra's relationship with them in that way. Same thing when Vivekananda went to America, you can see there that without any introduction, many people came forward to help him, seeing that relationship, the way he had relationship. That's because inside he has no hate towards anyone. Ragadvesham has gone completely, right? So Ramatirtha went to America in the same way. What happened to Ramatirtha also, right? When he got down from the ship, he was standing there. He had no luggage. One cloth on the shoulder and a bag, cloth bag on the shoulder. He was standing there. So when American person comes to him and asks him, are you getting down here? That time they were traveling by ship. He said, yes, I am. He said, so where are you planning to go? I said, you tell me, he says. Where should I go? You tell me. He says, have you got anybody here, visitors? He said, yes. Where is it? It's you, he said. And he took him home and kept him 2 years at his house, the Swami Ramatirtha. Imagine that. That effect, I'm saying, how that person was affected by him, seeing that faith in Krishna, that Krishna is there everywhere, why should I worry? And to such an extent, people have come to that level, they don't have any problems. But that is more advanced state, right? So, no, he had no penny, not one penny in the hand. And the devotees sent him by ship from here. They shipped him from there to go, right? So, what does it show? It means that he had such a faith in the protection of Krishna's protection, right? And so, whereas if we go somewhere, look at our situation. We'll make sure that somebody is there to receive us, or if the taxi is booked, accommodation is booked, without that we can't go. We feel difficulty, isn't it? So, when he asked him, have you got any luggage? He says that Rama does not travel with any luggage, he says. That was Rama's answer, right? And now Rama never, have you got money? He says, now Rama never carries any money. So much, so clear inside is mine, right? Sannyasi, isn't it? So that sannyasam, rigidly following the sannyasam state, right? Asked him whether you have friends or relations here. He says, plenty. He says, I've got so many friends and relations here. He says, that. So where are they? He says, that you are the one. He says, among my. You see, in their heart, this separation has gone. There's only here, Krishna is present here in everyone. That state is this verse. If you have come to reach that state, this is how you will see the world then. Ramatirtha, Vivekananda, they are all examples of that. total dependence on Krishna's protection power. So, and he looked after him for 2 years after that, right? And then this is the power of the Samadarshanam. So when Samadarshanam happens, this is what will happen to that person, right? Samam pashyanhi sarvatra, samam avasthidam ishwaram, nahinasti atman alpanam, tato yadi paramgadim, right? So, Krishna saying that if you have that Samadarshanam in that level, right? If that person, even if he does vyavaharam, like the way Paramatirtha was doing vyavaharam, even at that time, he is acting from the platform of Jivanmukta stage. He can do the vyavaharam as Jivanmukta. He'll be able to do the vyavaharam in that way, right? And he won't have any problem in his vyavaharam also, because in vyavaharam, whatever happens, he will be able to accept it as prarabdham. And accepting in that way, he will still be peaceful. Even in the vyavaharam, he will be able to remain peaceful. So, these two verses, if you think and think about it and keep remembering them, in dealings with others also, even though we may not reach the state of Ramatirtha or Vivekananda, at least some progress is possible with that. Yeah. So, whether it is, no matter what he is, whether he is a sannyasi, grihastha, brahmachari, whoever it may be, he will be shanti, will be there, peaceful about it. Or if he is a rich person or a poor person, still he will be peaceful, if you have that. You see, when, if you want to understand this, right, this, how it works, right, look at the meeting between Sudama and Krishna. That's where you get to understand this properly. Spiritual understanding comes from those things, from their discussions between them, right? So, Krishna is asking Sudama, how are you? He says, blissful, happy in life, right? Totally happy in life, right? What was the reason for that? Reason is this, that when the water, if it goes 5 feet or 10 feet above us, it's the same thing. Once it is above our head, you're inside the water. So Sudama's life is like that. Full of different poverty, first of all, hit him badly. And all other kinds of problems he had. But because he was in that self-realized state, remember what he said? Yeah. Brahma Vittama, he says, isn't it? Jitendriya. So, because he is in that state, nothing was affecting him. Yeah. So, how did that happen? And that is what Krishna is saying to him. Then look at my situation and your situation. Krishna, so opulent, so wealthy, a massive family life going on there, 160,000 wives and all, 8 major wives. So, such a huge family life, huge responsibility, huge opulences, everything. Sudama, on exactly opposite, totally opposite, no money, no worries, and nobody to support, and no income, nothing, right? Krishna is Dwarakapati or Dwarakeshwara, right? Dwarakadish, Shriyapadi, Lakshmipadi, Krishna's titles. Lakshmipadi, Shriyapadi, Dwarakadish, everything for Krishna. Sudama, complete poverty, right? Two extremes altogether. And both of them are saying they are in Shanti state. How is that? Yeah? How is that? That's when Krishna is answering that to Sudama. Guruvar anigrahe neiva puman purna prashandaye. That mercy, when it comes, that one is able to realize this by mercy of the, that is Guru's blessings, that you are able to get this realization inside, right? Due to Guru's kripa, they are referring to Sandivani Maharshi. Krishna is saying like that, that Guru's kripa, Samadarshanam has come to both of us. Therefore, both of us are not suffering in this world. It's not bothering us, right? In other words, whatever happens outside, because this opulence, poverty and all is outside, is it not? So whatever happens outside, it's not affecting inside. That situation, that's what it is referring to. No matter what happens outside, it's not disturbing inside. Nothing is happening inside. Able to stay peaceful inside. That realization. Krishna's case is totally different from Sudama's situation. But even though there was nothing, internally Sudama and Krishna are in the same state of realization. And that is what Krishna said there, Gurur Anigrahenaiva Puman Purna Prashande. That is Guru's mercy. That knowledge has become realization for both, for Krishna and Sudama. Right? You will see this this principle is there in the forms also. For example, Mahavishnu lies in the ocean, right? And ocean is never stable. It's full of waves all the time, right? Added to that, he is lying on top of a Adishesha, a snake, right? And why on a snake? You can lie on a snake and you say you are getting good sleep. That's a bit difficult to understand, isn't it? Why is it said like that? Reason is to make us understand that at his feet is Mahalakshmi, all the opulences. That means if you have a lot of wealth and opulences also, it is difficult to sleep. Because if you have a lot of opulences, lot of wealth, right? And people who have got very wealthy, they don't get sleep because of all the problems going on in the world with their investments and assets and financial dealings, everything. They won't get sleep. So therefore, naturally, they will go into tranquilizers and tablets, things like that, to get sleep. They do all that, right? So Mahalakshmi, the wealth, is at the feet, Vishnu's feet, right? And apart from that, sleeping on top of a snake. And again, the snake is on top of an ocean. Ocean is always with the waves, giving trouble. Snake is also a cause of fear. You're talking sleeping on top of a snake, right? And you look at Vishnu Sahasranam, what does it say? Shandakaram Bhujagashayanam. Palpanapam Suresham Vishwagaram Gagana Sudrasham Meghavarnam Shubhangam Lakshmi Gandam Kamala Nainam Yogi Hridhyana Gamyam Vande Vishnu Bhavaharam Savaloge Ganatham. That is why Vishnu Sahasranam, if you look at these things, you will see that Shandagaram, even though on top of Bhujagashayanam, on top of a snake, it is not affecting him. Mahalakshmi is at the feet and lying on the snake and on top of the in the ocean, and it is not bothering him, right? So that Bhujagashayanam of Mahavishnu is what is Krishna is referring to as Sthita Prajnatvam. That Sthita Prajnatvam, right? That means even in the middle of all the opulences, that Sthita Prajnatvam, not affecting inside, not getting affected inside. And Sudama, in his extreme poverty also, Sthita Prajnatvam, inside, right? So, due to his prarabdham, poverty has come to him, and in his vyavaharam, all these things are there. Prarabdham was there, right? So, but internally, his prajna, that steadiness, that depends on the jivas, depends on jivas, purushartham. In other words, through his spiritual life, he acquired that state, Sthita Prajnatvam, Sudama. Sudama got that Sthita Prajnatvam through his spiritual realization, spiritual knowledge, through the sadhana and other ways, right? So, the message is, body, you should leave it to prarabdham, right? And according to prarabdham, whatever happens to the body, you should accept it without allowing to cause problems inside. And that is what Krishna is saying, that param gadim means. See that word? Nahinasyatmanatmanam tato yadi param gadim. Able to leave the body for the prarabdham. And based on prarabdham, whatever happens to the body, accept that. And but not allow that to disturb inside. To disturb inside. And that example is that Krishna and Sudama's meeting, teaching us, right? And if he is able to do that, one who is able to do that, that whatever happens due to prarabdham to the body, and leave it to prarabdham, and not allow that to make any effect, impact inside, able to make steady mind inside, steady state inside, siddha prajnatvam inside, such a person is called paramgadi. Paramgadi, that word. Tato yadi paramgadi. Paramgadi means this state. Knowledge of the self, realization inside, siddha prajnatvam inside, outside body dealing with the prarabdham. Dealing with the prarabdham, right? So, how is he able to do that? Because in the bodily level, if you look at different people, you will see a difference in this world. Bodily level, if you look at it, right? Of all the great personalities, if you look at them. This is important because in Bhagavatam he is trying to teach us what self-realization means. Yeah? Take for example, Janaka. Janaka is a great personality. Similarly, Sudama. Janaka is so wealthy, opulent. Sudama, total pauper, completely, nothing at home. So poor he was, right? Krishna, very opulent. And he is addressed as Leela Purushottama. And Ramachandra, Maryada Purushottama. Vasishta performed yajnam, yagam, things, karmam like that. That was his way. They are all self-realized personalities, but all different in their life, in the world. In the world, how they conducted themselves, different. But all internally, inside, same state. So, Sri Shukha Brahmarshi, Avadhuta, no connected with the world, totally free. Ambarish, emperor. These are all personalities in the Bhagavatam. If you look at their way, how they perform their spiritual life, right? If you look at their swabhavam, everybody is different. All of them are different, right? But realization is concerned, they all have same. Janaka, Ambarish, Krishna, Ramachandra, Shukha Brahmarshi, Sudama, as far as realization is concerned, they are all same. They are all on the spiritual platform, totally on the siddha prajnatvam. But their vyavaharam in this world, everybody were different. Everybody was different. The way they did their, conducted their life in this world, right? So, and the body also, when you look at that, why the body were not similar? Because Vasishta was not similar to Janaka. And similarly, Janaka was not like Sri Shukha Brahmarshi, the bodily level, right? In the Devi Bhagavatam, there is a conversation between Sri Shukha Brahmarshi and Janaka. They are having a conversation about it, right? Sri Shukha Brahmarshi asked Janaka that, how come you are able to be so peaceful? As though, even though you are an emperor, to Janaka, he asked this question, right? So, when you are doing vyavaharam in this world for a king like Janaka, he has to use his mind, intelligence, everything, right? So, so Janaka says to Shukha Brahmarshi like this. He said, "When you are in the forest, you spend your lot of your time you spend in the forest, right? And when you are living in the forest without being disturbed by anything, how is that you are able to do that? When Shiva Brahmarshi asked, this is a conversation in the Devi Bhagavatam. Shiva Brahmarshi asked Janaka first, how you are able to conduct this vyavaharam like this? As a king, you are able to do that. So Janaka in return asked him this question. In the forest, how do you manage? You don't have any facilities there, and life is tough there. No place to proper food, sleep, anything, no accommodation. How are you managing that? He said. So Shiva Brahmarshi says to him, his answer to Janaka about this, right? To inquire for food in the forest, you don't require much intelligence. Little intelligence is sufficient, right? And that buddhi, I have got it, right? And keeping that buddhi in me, I find my food, something to eat in the forest. So Janaka is answering to him that to find out food, to find some food in the forest, whatever intelligence is required to find out some food in the forest, with the same, that kind of intelligence only, I am running my administration, he said. This is Janaka's answer to Shiva Brahmarshi. This conversation between Janaka and Shiva Brahmarshi, right? So, how is that possible? Because in Janaka's upadhi, he has got that power to do that. And Janaka cannot stay like Shiva Brahmarshi, and Shiva Brahmarshi cannot stay like Janaka. It is, the difference is in the upadhi. That's the important thing to know. Upadhi, there will be differences in everyone. Ramachandra came, spoke about dharmam, and therefore everybody followed, taken Ramachandra as an embodiment of dharmam. Krishna comes and says, I don't follow any dharmam. Whatever I do, that's dharmam. That's Krishna's way of saying that, isn't it? Krishna does not accept all these dharmam what we are talking about. Krishna says, whatever I do, that's dharmam. Bhagavata dharmam has come like that from Krishna. So, if you look at all these are all great souls, is it not? We are not looking at Krishna as a supreme personality of God, not in that way. We are looking at it from the spiritual side of it. Ramachandra, Krishna, Janaka, Ambarish, Sudama, all these great, great personalities, who were always operating on the spiritual level, how were they able to do the different things what they did? Because inside is stable. Inside, they are same. They are all same inside. That's Chitta Prajnato, inside them, right? So, there is this important principle to understand from this. So these two verses is basically talking about that steadiness that comes inside from self-realization. These are all advanced states of spiritual life, these two verses here. Samam sarveshu bhudeshu tishtandam parameshwaram vinashyalsu avinashyandam yapashyati sapashyati, first thing. Then he says, samam pashyan hi sarvatra samam avasthitam ishwaram nahinasti alpana alpanam tadoyadi parangadim. He has reached that state of perfection then in spiritual life, in self-realization. That means self-realization, with self-realization if you operate in this world, this is how it will be. Externally they may do the vyavaharam, whatever that is required, and whatever that's happening to their body is concerned, they will accept it as prarabdham. But internally they are not disturbed by anything what's happening outside. Because inside is so stable, like a rock, that sthita prajnatum is so stable inside, that's what he is saying. Samavasthitam Ishwaram, samam. Everything is samam inside. Samavasthitam Ishwaram. Whereas outside, nahina sthyalpana alpanam, tato yadi parangadim. He is saying that. Yeah. So, there is a story, Ramatirtha used to say this story, of a self-realized state, right? There is a fight between a squirrel and a mountain. Mountain said that to squirrel, you are a very little fellow. Yeah, you are nothing compared to me. Look at my size, he said.
And Skirul said, I agree, I'm not as big as you, like you, but you're not, I agree that you're not small like me, but I cannot carry a whole forest on my back like you do, the squirrel is saying to the mountain, right? But you cannot crack a nut like the way I can crack, the squirrel says to the mountain, right? So what it's saying is that in Upadhi there is differences. These are all Upadhi Vedam, it's called. Upadhi there is differences, right? Because mountains Upadhi is one way, squirrel's Upadhi is in a different way. Similarly in this world, if we look at people, our own Upadhis are different, right? This is a very deep subject actually. If you go into Bhagavad Gita a little bit more, you will see Krishna is saying to us, I think it is in the fifth chapter, you look at some of the verses there, referring to this, right? If you are able to separate yourself from the Upadhi and able to see yourself through your real identity as the Antaryami, then you become free from so many problems. There are verses like, if you look at the fifth chapter. No. This is, there are three verses there which Krishna is talking about, where he is saying this, that, I think it is in the fifth chapter, yeah, fifth chapter. He says that, just a moment. Chapter 5. Yeah. He says here, if you look at the verse 14, 5:14, and also 5:13, 13, 14 and 15. Krishna is saying that, study those verses very carefully, right? He's saying there that actually in us there is no doership. Yeah? In other words, when you have realized it, doership has gone from you. Na kartrutvam, he says. Similarly, we are all mad after karmam, isn't it? Karmam, 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 that's what kept us going in this world. Krishna says, who gave you this impression that you have to do karmam? Where did this come from? Na kartrutvam, na karmani. Logasya srijati prabhu. Antaryami inside, which is actually what we are, we have no kartrutvam, we have no karmam either. Right? Similarly, doing karmam and getting the results, where did this idea come to you from? Na karma bhalasam yogam. Krishna says, actually, it is not in you. But then where is it coming from? Svabhavastu pravartate. The svabhavam in you is causing this problem for you. Again, Krishna hits at the svabhavam of a person, right? So, what he is saying is that in our pure state, in the realized state, we don't have karmam, we don't have karma phalam, we don't have kartrutvam either. These are all impurities that has come to us. So, before we jump into karmam, if we have this knowledge, it helps. We won't go mad after karmam, doing karmam, karmam, karmam. Because in this world, everyone is driven by karmam. Krishna's point is, this is an impurity in you, this vasana for karmam. That itself is an impurity. And in the realized state, these things don't come. Karmam and karmabhalam, kartrutvam, all these things leaves us. Yeah? So that's what he's saying there. Na kartrutvam, na karmani, Logasya srijati prabhu. Then, na karma phala samyogam, svabhavastu pravartade. When your svabhavam, you are analyzing it. If you look at through the svabhavam of a person, that is where karmam comes, kartrutvam comes, bhoktrutvam comes, karma phala samyogam, all these comes.
And then look at the next verse. Nadate kasichil papam na jaiva sugradam vipu ajnana enavranam jnanam tena mukhyanti jandava.
The under, for us personally, it's a very deep subject this is, because we think we have got sinful activities, pious activities, and the results we have to enjoy. Krishna says no. Antaryami doesn't have any pious results. Antaryami doesn't have any sinful reactions either. That is also based on the Swabhavam only. And that feeling that, oh, I have to go through suffering, I have to enjoy life, all these things are ajnanenavrutam jnanam. The knowledge of the Antaryami is covered by your ignorance. And that is what is making you think like that. So, you know, in several other people will say to us like that, you are a sinful person, you are a sinner, or you are a very pure devotee and all that. Neither of them has any effect on the Antaryami inside. Antaryami is totally transcendental to everything. Sinful activities, pious activities, doer, enjoyer, and getting results from karma, all these things have nothing to do with the real self. It's only applicable to the Swabhavam, based on the Swabhavam. The Jiva feels all that, because Jiva has got all the Swabhavam, Vasanas, everything. So, that is what Krishna is trying to tell us. Bhagavad Gita, if you keep thinking and reading about it, you will start realizing a lot of misunderstanding we have got about ourselves. Right? So that misunderstanding, to become free from that, the only way you can do that is to study these verses more and more, and then you will get some clarity inside. What exactly are we? Once you realize that, I have nothing to do with all these things. I am not affected by my activities. And the priority that has come and hit us through karma and dragged us through this world, creating different experiences and taking it all very seriously. Karma phala samyogam. Krishna is saying, svabhavastu pravartate. It is all coming from your svabhavam. You are doing karma because of your svabhavam, Krishna says. Antaryam is not asking you to do karma. Your svabhavam is demanding you to do the karma. All karma is coming from svabhavam. Svabhavastu pravartate. He says. So, deep understanding of Bhagavad Gita makes you to become, withdraw from this world of karma. That's what actually subha karma, and this whole thing is misguided and given to people saying that I am a karma yogi and therefore I am doing the karma. Krishna wants me to do the karma in this way. It's all interpreted like that in the world outside. It's a big misunderstanding about karma and Krishna. Krishna is not encouraging anybody to get entangled in karma. Karma comes from svabhavam. Karma doesn't come from our real self. Real self doesn't need karma. Karma is due to vasana. Vasana is due to avidya. And that is all a part of svabhavam. And due to that we got implicated. It has not done anything good except that. So therefore Krishna says that because karma is the problem, we have to begin with the karma yoga in spiritual life. So we'll discuss it later. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Jai Jai Mahaprabhu ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.
So what I was saying, just one second, that upadhi bhedam, this is what I was going to complete that. Upadhi bhedam will decide how a person will conduct himself in this world, right? Based on the upadhi bhedam. One will be an emperor, one will be a pauper. It does not matter, right? So, but knowledge, upadhi is not knowledge. Upadhi does not carry knowledge. Knowledge is self-realization. It is totally different from the upadhi, right? So, you are not calling someone self-realized, not based on the body. Body is only on the platform of the upadhi, on the platform of the upadhi, right? So, that is why, if you look at Mahatmas also, their upadhis are different. Their upadhis are different, right? Take for anybody for that matter, say Ramana Maharshi or Ramakrishna Paramahamsa or Vivekananda or for that matter Jesus Christ. Any great personalities like that or Lord Buddha, they are all different. The way they conducted their life, they were all different. One was not like the other one, right? Why did that come? And
they all did different things in this world when they were here, right? And none of them were affected by that, for what they did. Krishna did so much in this world when he came here. But finally, he is not affected by anything, by all that things. So, that is what is in the next verse, which we will discuss it tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Bhagavad Gita is a very subtle science, it is. And the more you understand, you see that it is a science. And Krishna has, only problem is this, getting to know Bhagavad Gita in a deeper level. Then you will start appreciating the beauty of Bhagavad Gita. So logical everything becomes. Huh?